Hello, welcome to the Scotchcast. This is the Giant Bomb Guild Wars 2 Communities Off-Topic Podcast. I'm your host, Silverjet Cynic, and joining me today is Thurbleton.
I feel you should say the Giant Bomb Communities Guild Wars.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, do you want to get a letter from CBSI?
What?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to draw the line in the sand now. We are the Giant Bomb Communities Gaming Podcast. What?
Never give up. Never surrender.
Just like, yeah, we're their original podcast. If those guys had said a Giant Bomb Communities, like, on
yeah,
podcast,
I think
that I'd be okay problem. With that.
But, yeah, but nah, we've been around longer, so okay. We are the
Did
Giant
even
Bomb
acknowledge our existence?
Podcast.
I mean, if they want, we can go head to head in a punch out tournament.
I mean, they acknowledge our existence.
Well, no, like we could do something like that.
Shin Boy.
Oh, they did? They called Shin Boy out?
Well, because he kind of went in their thread and told them, hey, we have this other podcast where we actually talked about this game and didn't just completely shit on it or whatever.
Also joining me today is Durin.
Did you address yourself as self-addressed cynic?
I don't know. I said it really fast. Self-addressed cynic? I don't know.
Self-addressed.
And Squiggle.
I mean, kind of means the same thing.
I have nothing good to say at this point in time. Maybe after the ninth year.
As opposed to every other,
right? We can actually have a face off now that Dive Kick has been greenlit.
Dive Kick.
Oh, so see that.
That has been my one highlight of the week.
August 20, though, that's fucking forever away.
It's next
so long,
and it's the same week as Saints Row 4.
That's next month,
Shit.
Isn't it? That's
the
fucking worst.
That is less than a month away.
Yeah, that's like, that might as well be an eternity. It's also like the same week as Final Fantasy 14. Fuck.
fuck.
but nobody cares about Final Fantasy yeah. games anymore. So, you know, moving on to the next topic.
God, I swear. Wait.
First Wii U hate, now Final Fantasy 14. God damn it. Can't I love anything?
No. I really hope the other, like, the other podcast starts, like, just loving Final Fantasy, just
Final
to try and
14.
Counter us.
I love candy corns and kittens.
Oh, man.
I love that we have a Noobless episode.
I'm surprised we have a Noobless episode. We've had quite a few, though. Like, it's not the first episode.
I've been away for a while, so I had forgotten what it is like to be around Noob for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah.
I love it.
As great as it is, it's kind of a double-edged sword, so it's fun occasionally to have that break. Just so you can appreciate Noob that much more when he's back.
Mm-hmm. If you really want, I could pick up the anime topic portion of the show later.
Go ahead.
On. So, you know.
Do it. May as well start talking about something that's not other podcasts.
I mean, if we want to go right into it, I can give a good segue for anime.
Okay, go ahead.
So, one of the things I've been playing recently was I picked back up Gary's Mod.
Uh-huh.
And went through, like, for a while now, they've had a clean system of, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a sandbox game, and people have made all these sorts of mini games within the game of Gary's Mod. And mm-hmm. when you get a multiplayer, it has a list of like all the Trouble and Terror games, which I've talked about before, and all the Death Run, and then there's one called Cinema. And I was like, huh, what's this? Get a list of servers, and I pick one, it's like Cereal Box Cinema, whatever, just join. And it's a movie theater. Like, you go in, and you're in a main hall, and there's a concession stand, and then like two hallways on either side that has like a preview screen of what people are watching.
Holy
shit! It's basically one of the maps from Zombie Panic Source.
Sure. I don't.
That is one of the maps from that game is literally a movie theater.
This seemed really cleaned up though.
Same assets.
This sounds like PlayStation Home to me, man. This is like what the promise of PlayStation Home. If anyone remembers that.
Anyway, one person was watching.
Remembers, that's still around.
I guess. Oh, God.
There's one theater that was watching like Rocky 1. I was like, all right, well, I've seen that before, whatever. And then this other one that had like this weird thing that I was like, I don't trust this. I'm not going in there. And the third theater had just like some video that was like, oh, I've seen this on YouTube. So I go in and it's a giant, it's a movie theater. There's people mm-hmm. sitting down. One of them was like a zombie with like a missing head, but yeah, just people with special models. I sit down, just watch it, and then there's a bunch of movie reviews that people are watching in this movie theater. One of them was about this anime show.
What was the show? Do you know?
It was...
Was it Attack on Titan?
It was, like, your average zombie apocalypse, like, DayZ sort of story, but happened at a high school.
Of course.
Of course, the anime, like, it's the protagonist is the shy guy who is left with, you know, one nerd who is amazingly good at shooting people, zombies, and then, like, four super hot with short skirt, like, girls. Which, the guy, like, the reviewer in the video was, like, this British origin. I think it was English. I might have been Australian. I couldn't pick it.
Mm-hmm.
But he just proceeded to bash them whenever that, like, he brought up the fact that there were just girls with cleavage.
So I have a segue. I have a segue from that into something else a little bit based on it. I was at the shooting range about a year ago, and next to me was this Asian dude with a backpack, and he decided to pull out a .22 little pistol. And when they said go, started firing, and the little .22 pistol rounds kept popping me right in the face every time I was trying to shoot. But he hit dead on. So yeah, he's that. He must be that guy shooting the zombies.
I like how we transitioned to anime and then Squiddle
right back out of it again. Good man.
Noob wasn't here to pick up the ball and score.
Yeah, there you go.
A three pointer.
That sounds like every other anime ever, except with the Pretty zombies. Much. So it's anime with zombies.
Okay. Yeah, anime with zombies.
Squiddle.
But I also want to mention that immediately when he was done, he pulled out like a Desert Eagle from his backpack. He literally had the backpack on the table and was pulling out different handguns depending on what he was ready to fire. It was really creepy and cool scary. At the same time. Like, he would be the guy I'd go, hey, dude, you are on my team when we're going to fight.
Wait, so are you've shot guns and yes. stuff. Is a Desert Eagle actually viable as a hand, like a carry weapon? Like, it sounds almost unusably powerful.
Like, overkill.
If you want to, the problem is there's a lot of kick with it. I mean, if you're strong enough, you know, if you want to be the Schwarzenegger of, you know, I'm going to carry the biggest weapon, a hand cannon I can, then sure, go right ahead. But functionality, no. I mean, I have a .45 that is lightweight. It's a Glock, and I have that, and that's a lot easier to carry, and it's going to, you know, hit you.
I mean, is there ever a time in, like, real life that you would need a Desert Eagle, like if bank robbers or something, and you want to try and, like, shoot them through a car or something?
Sure. I mean, if you were in the position where you needed to do that sort of maneuver.
Where a Desert Eagle would be required that other, you know, handguns couldn't.
Not that I can think of. But I'm not that much of an expert. I just think they're cool looking because they're massive. And, you know, the one person I saw on YouTube that fired it didn't know how much recoil there was and broke his nose when he fired the guns.
Wait, so how many guns do you own?
I own two. I have a Glock 45, which I have modified with a custom trigger and a custom firing pin. And I have a shotgun. What kind of shotgun? I can't think of what it is right now. And a shotgun for, like, home defense type stuff.
Shotgun is for home defense?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, if I can't... hello. It's the NRA calling.
No, I usually don't silence my phone because I get one text a month, and that's nice. It.
No, so I have a shotgun that was bought years ago. That funny story behind that. We decided to have it shortened, in a way that's not technically legal.
God damn it!
For home defense, it is, but outside of home defense, it's not. And so my stepfather and I went to the firing range. We wanted to fire it to see how, you know, it worked and everything. And he took a couple shots, and we kept seeing sparks flying out in the distance when we were hitting the target. We're like, oh, it's weird. Okay, whatever. And then I got up there, and I started firing it. We saw more sparks. And then he goes, okay, well, we're going to do it one more time, you know, and then we're going to switch to the pistols. And so he fires one shot, and all of a sudden you hear this tang, and you see a chain fall right on the ground. And what had happened is because it was so short, the spread was so wide it was hitting the railing where it was moving. It moves the target in and out and basically shot the chain in half. And so we had to go to a different firing. And we just kind of said, we don't know what happened.
Pack your guns up and go and walk away.
Yeah. No, we took the shotgun, put it back in the thing. And we told the guy, hey, for some reason, it's the clicky thing's not working. He came out there and he goes, yep. All right. We'll move over to lane 4, something like that.
Wow.
Wow. Wait, so wait, who is it, you who own those guns, or is it like your family who owns the guns?
No, when I moved into my house, my stepfather gave me that gun. Mm-hmm. And so I have the shotgun for home defense, and I have my pistol, which I've purchased and done all sorts of crazy.
Where do you keep a home defense shotgun?
I usually keep it under the bed.
Okay.
And I actually keep the pistol in between my mattress. With the rounds in the table next to me. But I always, and this is probably against everyone saying, so don't do this at home, but I always keep one in the chamber just in case.
God damn it.
In the mattress, in case, you know, I have to pull it out.
Do you have, like, I know. You don't have nieces and nephews that visit you at your home, do you?
No. This is my house.
I guess we should state you have no minors that are in or around your premises, and you live in Texas.
And
which will probably allude to, like, oh, that makes more sense.
He lives in Texas. Of course he keeps a round in the chamber.
But no, I do not wear a cowboy hat. I do not have a horse sitting outside tied up to my house. And I do not say, hey, y'all, every time I see someone.
But you do have a big hat.
Huh?
You do have a big hat.
How many goats do you have?
Goats. What? Is that a thing?
What? No. Not where I live, that's for sure.
Really? Okay. Fine. No, maybe so, that's
like a Midwestern.
But I do have this device that looks like a goat whenever I'm really lonely at night, and I need to have some companionship.
So I don't think it looks like a goat. I think that's supposed to be a fleshlight.
Oh, is that what that is? Oh, because it looks more like a dragon.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I'm just trying to picture a fleshlight.
You probably just need to clean it. You probably just need to clean it.
Oh, God. That's what it is. It's been rolling around the floor too much. Actually, I have a great story about that as well.
Oh, God.
If you want to stay at the end of that.
Go ahead.
So yes, I did own a fleshlight for a while, and some people are going to hate this. And this
Go
is
ahead.
A story. I don't know most people. All right, so I did my duty one night with it, and I was tired, and I just kind of let it roll off the bed, and it went under the bed, and I kind of forgot about it for a couple weeks. My dogs.
Oh no!
I left my door open.
I own it.
And I come home, and there's my little tiny dog just chewing on this rubber device. And I'm like, what is that? And yeah, he had decided to go under my bed, pull my fleshlight, chew it out from the case that it was in, and chew the thing. Yeah. So I don't have.
So this is just like, you didn't clean it. It was just off you and the ground.
Yeah.
Back to the guns. No, so why?
No, let's just go all the way back to anime if we have to. Just keep backing up. Beep, beep.
What advantage is there to replacing the trigger and firing pin? Why would you do that?
I replaced the firing pin because usually it comes with a aluminum firing pin.
Mm-hmm.
And
where is it on the gun?
If you remove the... I can't think of all the names of it right now. The slide. If you remove the slide and flip it over, which is the part that, you know, goes back and forth, people cock it, you know, whatever. You flip it over. The firing pin is in there. It's basically where the bullet sits inside the chamber. Okay. And that's what hits the little thing in the back that fires the bullet, the igniter, whatever you want to call it. Can't think of the name. And I replaced it because most of them come with an aluminum one, especially the Glocks. And so I replaced it with a titanium one, so the less breakdown, it will, you know, last longer. Not like I need it to, but it's just kind of something fun. I'm a gadget guy. I love upgrading things.
Right.
What
was the what was the benefit of the trigger?
The trigger is adjustable. So essentially, a Glock does not have a safety. Uh-huh. It is designed for if your finger is on the trigger, there's a little banana type thing that sits out, and as it's pushed in, that is the safety because you can't pull the trigger on either side with your fingers and actually fire it. It has to have the finger in there and pull back completely. And what you do is change the poundage or the pressure that needs to be applied to the trigger. So it's a like a hair trigger. And I can take an Allen wrench and basically adjust it. Do I want more throw in the trigger to fire? I don't want it really loose. Like I can barely pull on it and it'll fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it allows you to do for that.
What did you set it to?
Hair trigger.
God damn
pretty
it.
Much.
God where damn
I was,
it.
Where I was comfortable with it.
I'm quoting it. He's in Texas.
One bullet in the chamber, a hair trigger gun. What the fuck?
I also upgraded the barrel in the gun to a custom barrel so that normal Glocks have a hexagonal or an octagonal design. So when the bullet goes out, it's their own custom way of doing it. I just changed it out so that I could, you're going to hate me, add a silencer to it when I'm ready. So it actually has, the threading on the end for a silencer that I'm looking to get right now. So
what you're saying is never visit Texas.
I'm surprised I made it out of there alive.
Isn't that illegal? Like, on silencers illegal?
No, you can have silencers. You have to get the right permits for it. You have to go to a lawyer that deals with it, and he has to say, you know, you're clean, you're a good person, you can own one, signs off on all the documentation that you need, and then you submit that to the government, and they say, okay, and you get, like, a license, essentially, that you can purchase it, and then you fax that in to the company where
you're going to purchase it. So, okay, I got a question for you. Aside from assassinations, what is the benefit or use of having a silencer on your Glock?
Have you ever played Hitman? Have you?
Aside from assassinations, have you never
wanted to just shoot a gun with a silencer on and hear that?
It doesn't make that sound though.
I mean, but
it does make a sound. It does. I mean, it's so much fun.
I heard it just said, like, the difference between them is that if it goes from, like, a really loud pop to with a silencer, it just sounds like a book hitting the table. It's pretty loud, yeah, though, still, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's definitely pretty loud. And there's different types of silencers. There's water-based silencers that you can get. They actually have to fill up the chamber with water, which is what breaks the subsonic sound as it leaves the chamber. And then there are some that are, I think they're just like a material. Or no, it's like a metal that basically the bullet travels through that silences it. So Osprey, which is the company I'm looking to get one from, makes a really awesome silencer. And they make one for outdoors and indoors, like home defense. So it's either quieter indoors, but the speed of the bullet is reduced dramatically, or an outdoor one, which is a little bit louder, but it keeps the bullet traveling as far
as possible. Because don't you have to buy like special like low-velocity rounds as well to make a really quiet gun? No?
No, not with this one. You don't have to do that. It takes a 45, which is what I have, and it allows it to be fired on that. So, yeah, I didn't want to buy that.
Question.
Okay. So much like RPGs are to, you want to upgrade to the best type stuff. I kind of take that.
You're doing it for the loot.
Yes, I'm doing it for the loot, for the booty. It's all
you're making your Glock a perp. That's what it is.
Yeah, and for me, it's kind of like, you know, if that zombie apocalypse ever happened, I would be able to be quieter than the other people out there with guns.
So here's my next question then.
Sure.
How long until you buy the laser sight?
Oh,
already have it. There actually has a rail on the bottom of it with it that is designed by Glock that allows me to have my tactical flashlight and a laser built into it. And so I just slide it on, snap it on, and then I can put the silencer on the front, and then I have my I just put my finger out basically and tap down or tap up if I want it to be on or off or completely on. And then I think on the other side, it changes from flashlight to laser or flashlight only or laser only.
That's so fucking cool.
Are you going to get an infrared laser so you can see it while having night vision on?
No, no.
You know, for home defense.
So I had to buy my night vision goggles the other day, like Splinter Cells. So I had the three dots, and then I just haven't had enough money to get the infrared gun yet.
But so that's why you should have just bought the edition of Call of Duty.
Man, I feel sorry for any criminals
but I also did buy some bullets that have like a little rubber stopper in the center of them, so that when they hit, it causes the head of the bullet to mushroom out even further to cause more damage. So that's
not quite a hollow point, but
they're hollow points with a rubber slug in the center of it.
Is that legal?
Yes.
Okay. Because I live in Australia.
It seems like you are riding in the line of what is.
And I actually have a friend that got me a case of tracer rounds that I have in my closet, but I don't have the rifle for it, so I just have the rounds.
Are you looking to get a rifle?
No, it's too expensive. I stay with handguns. It's cheaper to do that and all my fun little modifications. With a assault rifle, it's just even more difficult.
Yeah, so I was saying, I live in Australia, and drugs are pretty much illegal here.
Here's probably the scary thing, is like he's at least able to give you all this detail about this gun that he has and everything. Uh-huh. I used to have a rifle, Mm-hmm. I have no idea what kind of rifle it was. All I know had one hell of a kick to it.
I do own four, or I own like 20 different knives as well, and I have one that is a two foot long blade on the end of it. It's actually like a pocket sword, is what they call it, which is pretty cool. And I actually own two switchblades, one out the front, one out the side, and then three butterfly knives.
I was gonna make a Gabe Newell joke, but he has 20 just on his desk.
Yeah, so. And I don't have that many. But yeah, you know, I enjoy knives, and my mother hates them, so she's always on me about that.
To me, guns are like a beautiful machine. And part of the reason I find them fascinating is because I cannot own one. Like, you can, but it's just like a way more difficult process to even be able to buy and own a gun in Australia. And then and beyond that, like, you can't. I don't think you can even carry. No. There's just so much in the way. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I actually think that our gun laws are superior to pretty much everything.
So let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here before we get into that whole.
Oh God! Yeah, I guess. Wait. So, am I crazy for liking restrictive gun laws? Is that weird? I don't know.
No, because I loved automatic knives out the front or out the side, and for the longest time, you legally cannot own or buy one in Texas. But there's a website you can basically purchase it through. They don't care, and it's a legit website. And so once I got one, I was like, this is awesome. And so then I had two, and then I bought butterfly knives.
They accept PayPal.
What could you
They do accept PayPal, actually.
What is an automatic knife?
So an automatic knife is a spring-loaded device that shoots the blade either out the side, like you normally open a knife, without you having to actually put your thumb and open it. It's just a button that you push.
Like you see those movies where they pull out a knife and they hit a little button on it, the blade just flies out.
I never knew they were called automatic knives.
Yes. Now, out the front sounds like knives a gun. Are ones that out the front knives are knives. OTF knives are what the military usually uses. And Benchmade makes one that's called the Infidel, and it's a black handed knife with a slider that basically you slide it out and it comes out, and then when you're done, you just pull the slider back and it shoots back in. So there's no having to manually reclose it. It's just out and then in.
Squiddle, you are a very scary individual.
But I'm like a cuddly bear.
Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that you are on my side.
So Squiddle, have you been playing any video games? God damn it.
I have actually been playing Guild Wars. Last weekend a little bit more and more. Yeah, I was kind of getting into it. Did some more. I did the new instance. I don't know what the name of it was they had for the new area on the boat in the sky.
You mean like, okay, are you talking about the one where you help out your elected candidate?
The wave based. Yeah. The wave based thing where you got to like, like for us, we did the one with Nashblade. Nashblade is his name.
Yeah,
whatever.
They're the exact same.
So the whole, you know, protect the gold, fight off the waves, and failed that because couldn't get it to work correctly. But you know, it was fun, and I enjoyed doing that, and did some more stuff, and then just ran around, had a little bit more fun than just kind of, you know, logging in every now and then, looking at the. My stuff on the training post and then signing out.
Does anyone else want to talk about Guild Wars 2 and get this all out of the way?
I mean, sure.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't want to talk about it because this is the Scotchcast, not the Linking Cast. For Linking Cast, where we enjoy talking about Guild Wars 2 in a positive manner.
Yeah.
For Scotchcast, it seems like they're taking, like, at least with the South Sun Survival and the, I guess, Horde mode, story mode thing that Squiddle talked about. They're trying to take like have their spin on game modes, and just not hitting the mark at all.
Really? Because I was talking to some guys over on on the Mumble server, and a lot of them were talking very positively about the South Sun Survival thing. Like it's basically like the Hunger Games thing from the beta, but like gamified.
No, it is like the Hunger Games, but they're trying to make the Hunger Games while still in a like. Short round
in a game mode
version.
Yeah, that is a little unfortunate.
And I was just like, I've done that game mode before in other games, and I was just like confused with this one. Like they're trying to make it like friendly for, I don't know.
Well, it's basically the Hunger Games thing, but it's like Capture the Flag, I guess, or some shit. Like that's, I think somebody had described it as such. Which again, like that description, like okay, Hunger Games thing sounds really cool. You throw Capture the Flag in there and. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And then, like, when you die, as opposed to, like, before where you became, like, a robot and just kind of could help out and stuff, like, you can straight up now, like, kill other players that are still alive while you are, quote-unquote, dead. Like, you can win after dying.
That's weird.
You just straight up troll other people and kill them.
Kind of fucked up.
Mm. Wait, Squiddle, did you like it? Like, because you didn't play the original on games thing, did you?
No, I didn't, but I had a great idea when I was listening to all this through my clairvoyance-ness right now.
Uh-huh.
And it would be awesome if they had it so that, let's say wave-based fighting. Let's say, I was thinking wave-based fighting. Wave-based fighting people, you know, and then all of a sudden you're fighting in groups of five and everything. Mm-hmm. As soon as that round ends, one of the characters in that wave-based is immediately a part of the enemy, but you don't know who it is. So you would actually kill your own teammate, and then if you kill him, he is out completely, and now you're down to four. He doesn't come back. And then that happens again, and so then there's, you know, whatever, something like that. So I was just thinking that outside the box.
But,
you know.
As of impressions from what you did play, any interest there? Did you like it? Whatever?
Yeah, well, it was okay. I got kind of annoyed with it because if for me it was like, maybe it was not as too complicated, but there wasn't a – we could only go so far, and then every single time we tried to change it up, we would fail it no matter what we did in the concept. So I feel like it's broken in some way because I don't see the tells that we're supposed to do to accomplish it, but I'm sure someone has figured it out there by now.
Well, and then there's the whole thing where, like, when you're dead, you can drop a fucking – what is it, like a veteran or champion Karka on somebody.
Weird.
So you get a bunch of dead people together, and they can just destroy – people, and it's I mean, granted, yes, it's not intended to be balanced necessarily. Like there's no progression to this, so it's not like structured where, like, you know, do better and you can get awesome gear or anything like that. It's supposed to be fun, so I guess whatever. But it's weird because, like, the what was it, Battle Royale or whatever they called it in the beta?
Hunger Royale,
I think. Hunger Royale. That was really, really good as it was.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, right? Why they changed
it? Yeah, it seems like they made some changes to it. Again, I think trying to gamify it a bit more. Mm. But literally every one of those changes has pretty much been for the worse.
Right.
Like,
and it's unfortunate because it sounds like this is the thing that's going to be permanent in the game.
My two main problems with it are... Like, yet, like, the ghost thing, I would much rather prefer, but, like, the current engine doesn't provide for this thing to happen of, if you're dead, you either get out or you can spectate. Like, you can just, like, you can click between seeing everybody, but even then, that could, like, lead to, like, spying sort of thing. So, really, just
get out of that. Well, not only that, it would lead to, like, low numbers because you don't want to just sit there and spectate until the round is done because those rounds could you know, well, no, looking like, at the Hunger Royale.
Even when you spectate, you have the option to just, like, leave and join a new one.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like honestly, like what you were able to do in the Hunger Royale in the beta was just enough that you could still be helpful and help your team win, but not completely turn the tables over to one side because you have, like, say, three people alive on your team and, like, 10 dead, and the other team maybe is the opposite, and somehow your team wins because just what the dead people have as their utilities are just so ridiculous. Like, that's the way it sounds like it is now.
What about we had, like, the same start of when the beta was? Because it was four teams, like, a map full of people, but they're all, like, spawning, like, in a corner or something. And so you have, like, 30 people spawning in one corner, but they're all on the same team. And then as the map progresses, everyone gets shuffled to, like, a center point as more and more people start dying.
Well, I don't know. Like, I do like that they definitely took the spawning and made it like the Hunger Games, where, like, straight up you spawn in a big circle facing each other. Like, that's really cool that they actually took that, because it gets some immediate action happening. But I don't think the way that they spawn you and have the team set up and everything is really the problem. I think it's more so how the game progresses as it goes on. Like, it gets more and more one-sided. There's no...
Yeah, it's like, it's... If you die in
there's
the
no way. There's no way to really, like... There's no way to really, like, turn things around for your team from like, smart play.
I didn't realize there was teams. Whenever I joined, it was free-for-all.
Is it free-for-all? Okay, I haven't actually played it. I'm going completely off of what others have said. I thought it was still team-based like it used to be.
No, basically, like, you start off and, like, sometimes I could get away. Other times I would die, and then just you... For the first minute, you have the option to respawn. But if you respawn, you just show right back at the beginning, like, in the middle, and yeah. You get sniped again.
It's similar to the way they did in the beta as well. They had, like, the first 5 minutes or whatever that you could basically just practice mode.
Yeah.
But... Like if it's straight up free for all from the very beginning, like that's almost worse. Like they should have taken it a step further, like the Hunger Games, where you had actually like teams initially, and then as the game progresses and more people die, then the teams eventually dissolve until it essentially becomes a free for all for the last like four people or something, because there is only one winner. Like as opposed to it being free for all from the very beginning, like there is no. The team dynamic really changes things a lot in that kind of a game, and getting rid of that, like it sounds like just a big fucking mess.
Well, we'll probably talk about this more in the next Linkin Cast. Maybe we'll see if Shinboy's on, if he can ever be bothered. Otherwise, is any other Guild Wars 2 talk to get that out of the way?
I real quickly, I also like have been playing it like basically today.
Yep, I saw that. I was like, what?
Yeah, I decided to hop on and start leveling my warrior again, because I really want to have something other than my Elliot level 80. And that just reminded me that I really like the leveling method in that game, the dynamic advance, the hearts. And I know I've talked about this in the past, but like they're really cool the first time around. Mm-hmm. And it's really unique, and I liked how it you know, kind of force the player to explore the world and everything like other MMOs haven't done. And I liked everything about it. And I thought that this was clearly the way that all MMOs needed to be going forward. But then I started leveling an alt, and with an alt, like your goal is different than it is with your first character. Your goal with your first character is just enjoy the game. Like, yeah. You know, see the world, see the story, as bad as it might end up being. You don't know that at the time.
God.
But then like with your second character and every character after, like your goal is hit level 80 so I can do all the cool shit.
Right.
And in this game, it is infuriating trying to level an alt through those zones, because you do have to go through and explore everything. Fucking cranny of every map and do every heart quest and hope that you run along some dynamic events along the way, because otherwise you're grinding.
Yeah.
You know, pay attention to chat so that you know when dynamic events are popping, and hopefully have the waypoint for it. Otherwise, it's, you know, a race against the clock to try to get there before whatever the champion is or whatever the objective is over by the time you get there, which is what happens 90% of the time. It's just like after going through this with numerous characters at this point, there's definitely still a place for static quests and quest hubs.
I would somewhat agree with that, especially with my time with Torchlight. I don't mind a static quest. I don't mind running.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's nice to just, you know, put on some music, run around a quest, grab up all the quests, and just head out and start killing shit.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that it for the Guild Wars 2? All right, cool.
I think that is it for Guild Wars 2.
Squiddle, anything else you've been playing?
That's about
the fucking worst. Have you done anything worse?
Well, fuck you too.
Okay. Yay.
The only thing I, gaming wise, not Guild Wars wise, but gaming wise, so I decided to pick up a new Nexus 7 yesterday.
Yes. I was going to prompt you on this, because I was going to say it's clear what the topic should be, and you weren't bringing it up.
I have a great story behind it. So it was announced over the weekend that Best Buy was going to be carrying the Nexus 7s like 4 or 5 days earlier than they're supposed to be launched, which is the 30th. And so I was like, cool. So I went to Best Buy at 10 o'clock in the morning right near my work and said, hey, you guys have the new Nexus 7? I went with a friend of mine, and they go, he goes, let me check. No, we don't have any. It looks like we're not going to ever carry any. It's a Best Buy policy.
What?
That was his what? Words. And I said, I looked at my friend and we go, okay. All right. Well, thanks. Are you sure? Because he goes, well, no, I'm pretty sure that your corporate said they're going to start carrying it. He goes, let me take a look again. Yeah. Oh, they're on a freight coming in. We don't have them yet.
Great.
Okay. All right. Fine. So we decided to leave and go back. And then my friend looks at me at work and he goes, hey, why don't you see if you can pick it up as an in-store pickup? Because it says it's available. So I ended up going in online and did the pickup in-store.
Wow. Yeah.
Purchased it. And then I got my email saying, hey, it's ready. And so I was like, cool. So I walk over there. I go to the counter and I pick it up. And I said, thank you so much. And I walked over to the guy that said they didn't have it, they were never going to carry it, and say, this is what I was talking about. Thank you very much. I'm out. And then left. And then left.
So, did you like say it, turn and walk out, or did you give the guy a chance like, to like, oh, sorry?
Isn't that the worst? It's a friend of yours, and you're like, you can't help but have this feeling like you are.
No, it's not the friend. What's wrong with retail? The friend wasn't the guy behind the counter.
No, the friend was with me to buy one. Oh. He wanted to buy one as well.
Oh, okay.
So I did. I literally walked over to the electronic area and saw him with a customer and said, hey, whatever's name was, this wow. is what I was talking about that I wanted, thank you very much. And then I left out, and then I walked out. So that was about it. I basically dropped the mic and walked the fuck away.
So we've been on this podcast before, and I have specifically told you to get an iPad mini, and then you turn around and you get a freaking Nexus 7.
Yes.
Why?
Pixel
density, is that where we're on the line here?
I like to have a little bit of everything. I don't like to be centric on one platform.
Right.
So I have an iPhone, which I love and I use. I have a Mac I use at work. I have a gaming PC over here that I use at home. And so I figured, well, I need a tablet. And the only tablet I had was a Galaxy Tab 10-1 from back in the day. And it was getting sluggish. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to upgrade. It came out. So I did it and absolutely love it. The screen is beautiful.
Freaking Nexus 7 is so cool. I'd want one so bad. How much is it over there? It's like $199, right?
$225, I think. Something like that.
Because it's around the same here. I have an iPad 2, and the only reason I haven't gotten the Nexus, like, because I have a Galaxy Nexus for my phone. I love Android. The only reason I haven't gotten the Nexus 7 is because I have a Kindle for reading. Like, 7 inches is an awesome size for reading. We already have a Kindle for that. And the games, I don't think the Android ecosystem has enough games like worthwhile yet.
It doesn't. I definitely will attest to that it does not have.
Oh, okay. Is that your experience so far? Because your first Android for a while? Or?
No. I bought an S3 also from my friend, and then I rooted it. The custom ROM kind of hacked it, did a little fun with it. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't. For me, as a phone, it wasn't a viable platform to have as something that always at the ready that I can pull out and have my apps work and stuff. With the tablet, I say games and stuff like that I do. But with the tablet, you know, there's a lot more stuff that I can do. Like, I have a connector that I can hook up a serial cable to into the switches that we have at work, mm-hmm. and then be able to do an SSH session right into it or a PuTTY session right into it. As opposed to with the iOS, I can't do that because it's not as open at this time. So for me, it's more for work. But they have some fun games. So and on that note, one of the games I was playing is the Robot Unicorn, I think is what it's called, from Adult Swim,
right?
If I'm not mistaken. And it's a fun game. And that was probably the only other thing I've been playing is that game.
Is that a platformer? Fun. Like you play as a robot unicorn?
It's a runner.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a runner. It's a runner game, definitely. And you know, there's all these things like, hey, you need more unicorn tears to buy this next boost. Do you want to pay $4.99? And I'm like, no, I do not. So it's just for, like, you know, sit down and fun and mess around with. But the screen and the size is great. I'm hoping there'll be some better games that will come out for it, because
that's my biggest worry, man. Because I don't see with Android being as open as it is, I do not know who is going to come along and make like a viable into a viable games platform, because it's just,
well, yeah. And the problem that you have with Android is there's too much. I can't think of the right terminology for the developers to use, but essentially you have people that are out there still on like Honeycomb,
yeah,
still on fragmentation. You know, fragmentation. That's right. There's too much fragmentation there to where developers could say, we're going to develop this app for just this platform. And then they're going to be like, well, we're not getting enough money because there's not a lot of people on it. They're on the one right before.
Yeah.
So it's harder because you don't have the Apple ecosystem where every device gets the update as soon as it's available for it. And there's nothing restricting people from updating. If you want to update it,
It sounds like the update problem is more so an issue here in the States than it is elsewhere. Like, we get it straight up, like, way later than everybody else.
Right. Yeah. We get updates pretty much immediately. But, like...
Well, it's carrier. It's carrier issues. AT&T and Verizon need to go, no, we need to vet this software and make sure it works. And it's loaded with all of our bullshit that we want to handle, give the customers, so that they can still use their singular TV or AT&T app that was fucking archaic back in, like, 2004, you know? So... Yeah, they have to have their sticky little damn fingers in the entire thing, which causes the issue.
I haven't heard someone say that before. But
so,
okay.
So you want to hear something insane while we're on tablet talk? Mm-hmm. I've never actually owned a tablet. What is the purpose of
so
one?
So good. I love.
Or is it one of those devices where you don't know, like, you don't know that you need one, but like once you have one, you'll never be able to live without it.
Squiddle, I haven't responded.
My response is they're a luxury. Other than that, there's no fucking reason to have one, in my opinion.
It's something nice to have. Yeah. Right? Like my iPhone can do everything this can do.
When I go take a shit, I don't ask, do I have my iPad or the tablet on me? I have my phone on me, and I go in there and do my Reddit thing and everything. Yeah. I don't actively seek out to see, do I have my tablet near me? What can I do? I have my phone with me and I can do everything. For me, it's more of a luxury. That's, like if I'm sitting there, it's like, oh, cool. I can do this and surf
The hardest part of trying to justify even buying one is I feel like any possible use case that I could find for a tablet, like my smartphone can do all of that.
Yeah. My response is, So the coolest things that tablets can do.
Plus, you know, I have the Wii U, so.
Oh, God.
That's the best.
That is not.
That is not.
Jesus Christ.
Horrible analogy.
Firstly, and I'm a person who only comes from an iPad perspective. The iPad, as I've said many times before, is actually a legitimate gaming platform now. There's an awesome amount of games for that thing, and a lot of them are actually pretty good.
I would never buy games on a tablet, though. So that's the window.
You're crazy. I don't know. Like, it depends what kind of games you like, obviously. But
I bought one game on my iPhone since I've ever owned an iPhone. Mm-hmm. I've only ever paid money for one game, and it was Game Dev Story, and I believe I played it for one day.
Nice. Well, for me, I actually. I'm a huge fan of the Infinity Blade games. Those are awesome.
Those are great. Those are great games. And yeah. I'm really sad to hear that.
Textbooks.
No, that on iPad they're actually pretty fun little, like, it's kind of like Rogue Legacy. Like, it's a kind of
I also don't consider like Fruit Ninja a game. Like, those things are not games.
I've never liked Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, it's not a game.
Fruit Ninja is not.
That is a tech demo. That's a tech demo on the scale of fingers slicing.
Right, now you have me confused because pretty sure in terms of what you do as gameplay, they're the same fucking thing.
No way. What?
No.
What?
What? No, because when I'm going to block somebody or I'm going to do a special maneuver, I have to do different gestures. I'm not just slicing fruit with my finger and trying to cut the damn sausage or banana as it flies across.
It has a whole thing. Like, it has a plot. It has actually a book.
Yeah, there's a story behind it.
There's like actually a pretty cool plot, and the book is written by my favorite author.
Your actual control, though, is pretty much just swiping across the screen to.
Well, yeah, but that's only like a tenth of it, because most of the time you spend dodging and blocking.
If you want to break it down, yes. generically it is swiping, mm-hmm. although the swiping then is its own category of I'm swiping to cut fruit, or I'm swiping and then curling back and then doing a downward stroke, much like, you know, fighting games, to execute this specific move.
Yeah, like there's so, actually a lot of depth to the combat.
I guess my biggest problem is like there's basically no character control whatsoever. It's an on rails sword spin game.
Like kind of, because like really the only character control you have is like direction, because you can, when you're exploring this castle, there are multiple routes and you can actually end up going entirely different routes to the castle.
Okay, so there's actually like walking around then.
It's not kind of like point and click more than
it is basically tapping on, I want to go left, go left, and then semi cutscene walking left. So
yeah, like Grimrock, you're actually moving. Like you have one-to-one movement control. You don't have one-to-one movement control here, but you choose what screen you go to, like a point-and-click adventure. You choose what screen, and those further devolve.
Everything that I've ever seen of that game is just was dude standing there with the camera, like kind of below him, looking up the giant dude, and people swiping. That is all ever been showed of that game.
Well, like, dude, if you play that game, if you're good at that game, and you end up getting to the final boss at a really low level, that game can be legitimately like
I was actually really interested. Good. Dungeons, because like it was like they're finally making a game with Infinity Blade.
And that actually made me disinterested, because Infinity Blade is its own thing now. Like it's like its own. Well, it's sad because the developer shut down, didn't they, or did they get consumed? But it's actually its own thing. It's a legitimate game, and I think it's actually pretty like it's light on the plot. Like even though it has a book and stuff, it's light on the plot.
Actually, I believe they were shut down when Tencent bought into Epic.
Yeah, it's really because it was actually going places. The plot actually had a stopping point in one, and the book covered the distance, and then two actually had more.
I will say there was a book about an iPhone game or iPad.
That's a really good book.
When I beat the game, I am stoked to see what they're doing next.
Exactly.
And then I heard they shut down. Oh no, this project's canceled. Oh, I'm never going to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was very bummed about it. I would rather if they released a book at least that explained the rest of it. Mm-hmm. I would be okay with that. Yeah. Even though I don't read books, I would be happy to know that out there is the end.
So it's
of this story.
So it's kind of the Firefly Serenity thing.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. And there will be a Kickstarter next month MMO. That will reboot. Yes.
Wait, MMO. What? Oh God, they are making a Firefly. Oh fuck.
Yes, they are.
I did not know.
An iOS based MMO for.
Oh, Firefly. That's gonna be amazing.
But it's like
other games. It's really bad.
You have like Year Walk. You have what's that? There's this detective game which is kind of funny with you playing as this dude with one of those moose hats on. I forget, like the. Fucking old school looking hats on. It's a detective. You're a detective. You walk around. It's kind of like Puzzle Agent. Puzzle Agent's really good.
I was really confused because I have Puzzle Agent on Steam, so I did not assume that was what you're talking.
It started with iPad. So
for some reason, I was thinking Leisure Suit Larry. I don't know why.
Oh God. And the Scribble games are actually better on iPad, in my opinion.
Scribble straight up, actually, like in all seriousness, better on Wii U.
Did anybody bring up...
So yeah, it's like iPad's a really cool platform, and I don't know.
Did anybody bring up XCOM?
Okay, better on Wii U because it has the tablet-like stuff, but like the power of a console.
But the main thing is...
Hold on, like Thurb said, XCOM is interesting because I would have bought that game if I had a iOS tablet. I would have done it.
I
don't want to do it on the phone.
XCOM is interesting because that is an expensive ass game for a mobile platform. I mean, I know it's the same game. It is the full game, absolutely worth the cost. But that I believe that's the first time we've ever seen a game at that price point.
What
on
was
a
it? Mobile. 20? 25? What was that?
Oh, it was like fucking 30, 40?
Ooh, okay.
No, not for the mobile platform.
Yes.
It wasn't under 10. It was in the 20s kind of range. 20, 30 kind of range, remember?
I want to say it was $29.99.
Yeah.
Look my phone while we talk.
That's how much Final Fantasy is in this.
That was $19.99.
$19.99?
That's what it was.
Right.
But I'm pulling it up right now. That's what it's saying.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, like for the new Final Fantasy game, that throwback Final Fantasy game for iPhone and iPad, that was $30 Australian, so I wouldn't be surprised.
But it is definitely a better game than Final Fantasy Dimensions for $20.
Yeah, so I was saying.
So.
But no, like, it's becoming a bigger and bigger platform. And stuff like Layton, that stupid Layton Brothers thing, which I'm never going to purchase. Stuff like that indicates that Japan's catching on as well, which is an important thing for mobile games are awesome.
Like, games getting better on there makes a lot of sense because, yeah. I mean, tablets clearly are the successor to the laptop.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to replace the laptop eventually.
Well, I don't think it can because I tried to go tablet only for most of my final year of uni. And it worked out to a large degree, but in the end, I just ended up buying a laptop because it's just.
Did you have a tablet did you have the accessory that you attached to your tablet? Is a case and keyboard?
Yeah, no, I didn't. My friend did, and my response to that is,
dude, that pretty much replaces the laptop.
Because, dude, Excel, like, I need stuff like Excel. I need like actual office stuff to do.
I mean, they got the Surface for you.
God.
Well, yeah, there we go. Surface RT, where Microsoft came out and said, yeah, we built too many of these. Yeah,
yeah, they're like, this was a bad product.
So the reason
Windows 8 hasn't done too well, we're really surprised by that.
We brought the start menu back, but really all it does is bring up the new start menu. You don't get your old stuff. You just get a button now you can push.
Man. Okay. But like the first year or so, I stopped using my iPad, and the main reason for that is because it's too big. Like, my iPad's still 10.1 inch.
That's what I'm afraid of. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to drop like $300 on a fucking tablet, and then 6 months later, it's going to end up like my kid's tablet because I just don't care anymore or something.
But the 7 inch size kind of like gets around that because I think that's pretty much the perfect size, and why I love my Kindle so much, because the best thing an iPad can do that a Kindle can't is the inverted mode, which is black everywhere with white text. Right, that's awesome for night, and the Kindle still can't do that to my memory.
Do you have the Kindle Fire or do you have the actual Kindle?
No, I have a Kindle.
Okay, so yeah, like that. I don't feel like that's necessary though to have the black with white text because it's basic. Like, it can do what the iPad can't, which is I can take my fucking Kindle outside in the middle of the sun, a sunny day, read a book on it.
But I already have a Kindle. Yeah, we're talking about like having multiple devices. And the main thing, aside from games and reading for me for a 7-inch tablet, is I use my phone on the throne as well, but at some point, I just need a screen a little bit bigger than 4.6 inches to surf the web properly. And I don't think, even though it does most of the job, I still kind of want like something
a little bit bigger. With every like reputable website out there having a mobile version now, like I don't really feel like it's necessary.
Well, it is because I hate mobile versions. Like, they're good, they're usable when I need to get something done, but when I want to actually just like read or something like that on the web, the mobile version is usually just too like the text is.
See, I'm like, I have a Kindle as well, and then I have an iPhone. Like having those two devices, it's really hard to like be able to convince myself even to drop $200 on a tablet.
Unless it was an iPad mini for the games specifically, I wouldn't.
What you're saying is if I don't care about playing tablet games, just completely bypass tablet.
I'd say so. But I think you're being like a bit dismissive if you don't care about tablet games. Because they're going places, I think.
That's the thing. Like they're going places. Once they've gotten there, then I'll look at it. But in the meantime, like my PC games are more than enough to keep me busy.
In the meantime, there's only like one or two games that are worth it a year in my opinion.
Yeah, and also like I don't live in a place where commuting is a thing. So like I don't like the time that I would be playing it is sitting here at my desk.
Yeah, and by comparison, I spent an hour and a half on the train yesterday. So yeah, but no, back to Squiddle. Would you recommend the Nexus? I think it looks awesome. Verge gave it a 9 out of 10, so that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it a lot for what it is. I think it really didn't hit me till the other day. When I was messing with it, like, man, this is a really good looking screen.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit me really. I was like, okay, it's a higher pixel density screen. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's really nice. It's a good size too. I mean, I like the idea of a bigger one, but the problem I have with the bigger one is,
it's too big, man. 7 inches is the right size in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I do like the 7 inches.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Cynic, that's not just your opinion.
Yeah. That's what she said.
You didn't need to do it. Was already done. You kind of closed the deal on something that was already closed with that, Squiddle. I don't know.
That's
don't
right. Know. I like to close every orifice when I talk.
Durin, what have you been playing?
Aside from Guild Wars 2?
Yeah.
That is a very good question, Cynic.
Really?
I have not been playing a whole... Well, okay. So, I've recently started working full-time again. Like, mm-hmm. recently, like, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever, after my shitty other job. Mm-hmm. And I've learned... I'm becoming old. So, I end up spending most evenings coming home from work basically... like making dinner, eating dinner, and then just sitting in front of the television.
Oh my gosh.
Wait a second. How I just have to ask because what age are you then?
He's 27, but I call him 27
because kids. Okay, I am 29 years old. I come home and do the exact same fucking thing that you stated. I've been doing it for the last 3 years. So you know what? It's right there. I'm right there with you. I just want to come home, watch some Giant Bomb, and then. Okay.
I'm 2 podcasts behind. I'm so behind on Giant Bomb because. So what I've been basically doing this week is I've been catching up on Grimm. I don't know if any of you guys have watched that show.
What's
that? I was still catching up on season one. It's Grimm Fandango? It's a TV show. No. It's just called Grimm.
Oh,
It's Grimm. A TV show on I don't even remember what channel because I just watch it through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically like the premise of the story is like. You know, you think of like all the grim fairy tales and all the creatures and monsters.
Yeah. Grimm. Okay,
and like those, yeah. Okay. So those exist in real life. And then there's this dude called Grimm who like hunts them and he finds out he's Grimm and it's a crazy story and all this. So I've been catching up on season one of that. Amazon has season one and two on there. And so like season one ends with the biggest fucking cliffhanger ever.
All right.
Or like two of them, like two big fucking cliffhangers. The episode ends. My wife and I are like totally fucking into this. And so I switch over to season two so we can go ahead and you know, pick right back up again. Cause this is the benefit of, you know, watching, you know, on demand stuff on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Only season one is Amazon Prime. Season two is $2 per episode.
Oh,
now I would like to just state that I would not be bitching about that at all because on the iOS platform, my Apple TV, I don't get shit when it comes to Netflix and being able to watch any of that. So I'm not going to pay for it, but Netflix got nothing.
Netflix. See, that's the thing. I pay for Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is a heaping pile of shit. But that gets me to my next point. And that is that as bad as Netflix is these days, like they've lost a lot of their partnerships and stuff and basically, they lost a lot of contracts. They weren't willing to pay what the studios were wanting them to. And a lot of that actually ended up over on Amazon's side instead now. Netflix is amazing compared to Hulu Plus.
Yes. Well, so, and Netflix also stated that they...
Go ahead.
I was saying Netflix also stated that they are the new HBO.
Ew.
Just because of their House of Cards and their Black
one
is the
show.
New Orange is the New Black or whatever it is.
I don't remember being able to watch Game of Thrones on Netflix.
Nope. Yeah, I don't either.
Fuck them?
Right.
So the reason I even got into the Hulu Plus thing is like after seeing the season two was you know pay to watch on you know pay-per-view whatever on Amazon, it was like $35 for the season, just complete way too much. I think TV shows cost way too much per episode. I started looking around the internet trying to find somewhere that might have had it, and I found that Hulu Plus has seasons one and two, or maybe it's just season two, of Grimm available, and I could do like a 7-day pass or 7-day you know free trial or whatever. It's like okay, I'll do the 7-day trial. We'll fucking marathon through it over the next week and then cancel it, so I don't have to pay them any money because I'm cheap like that.
Yep.
Turns out, like, that's probably justified because Hulu Plus is a pile of shit. So I started out the first episode, and I don't know if you know this, Cynic, I don't know if you guys get it down there or not, but, like, Hulu Plus is it's Netflix with ads.
Yeah.
So you pay $8 a month, and it's what they call limited ads, which is complete bullshit because it's just as many.
You can pick your own ads, though.
No, not on the apps.
Oh really?
I was watching this on the Wii U because it was the most readily available system that had a Hulu
Jesus
app already.
Christ.
And so I load up the first episode of season two, immediately ad. Like, no show yet, just ad. So I watched the first ad, and then the thing pops up on the tablet screen showing, of course, you know, like the how far along you are in the episode or whatever. And there are 6 dots along the course of that.
Oh, geez, 6 ads.
An ad break. 6 ads would be really bad, right?
Yeah.
That'd be terrible. Each dot, it turns out, after I got to the first one, is actually 3 ads.
Oh, God.
So you got to sit through 3 ads, roughly about 2 minutes in total each time, over the course of an hour-long episode. As if that wasn't bad enough, their app is a complete pile of shit, at least on the Wii U, and it crashed, it acted as if it was no longer connecting to their server every time it would get to, like, add 2 out of 3.
Right.
And then when you would, like, tell it, like, retry, it would go about 5 seconds before the ad started and play that, and then go back to the ads again.
It's stuff like this that kind of reminds me why some people just fucking pay for cable and just get a tuna box.
No, like, it's stuff like this that reminds me why people go to fucking Pirate Bay and pirate the shit out of TV.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring it up because I that's how I consume my television. I'm not afraid to say. And yeah,
it's ridiculous when this is the option for, you know, subscription based television. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pay them $8 a month and still get ads.
Yeah,
and then you can't even get through the ads to actually watch the television. So what I basically started doing is I found a loophole in that seems to work every time, and that is just before the ad goes through, or like after it crashes after the ad, when it pops back in again and goes to like the 5 seconds before the ad part, just like fast forward slightly, and it just bypasses the ads entirely.
Nice.
That's so it's basically watching Grimm Season 2 and plan to try and marathon through and cancel the fuck out of that service and never go back to Google Plus again.
Jeez. Yeah, Crunchyroll is the only TV-ish subscription service I paid for, and that was actually really good because they just give you
web-based.
And if you like Crunchyroll, now on the new Apple TV, you can access your Crunchyroll subscription.
I don't like their mobile app at all. Like, their mobile app was terrible when I used it while I still had a subscription. I don't know. Have you tried it on Apple TV? Was it any good?
No, because the kind of stuff that I watch that's anime-based is not available on an iOS platform or any type of platform thereof.
Is it just hentai? Do you just watch hentai in your spare time? Is that how this has gone down?
Well, no comment.
He doesn't have his Fleshlight anymore. What do you expect of the man? Come on.
So this
is basically what I've learned. Like, after you know, I've tried like Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Hulu Plus are pretty much the 3 big major TV and movie subscription programs.
Yep,
they're right now. And what I've learned from all of this, having tried out all 3 of them at this point, don't fucking waste your money. Just go with Amazon Prime. Like, it's by far the best service out there right now for the money. I mean, the downfall of it is you do have to pay for all up front, but it's the cheapest option, and it has the most variety. And
what
unlike
do you mean
Netflix,
by all up front
library, you pay $80 a year. So you pay $80 up front, and it's good for a year. Whereas Netflix and Hulu, like, you have monthly options, so you pay just $8 a month instead, but it comes out to cost you more. But like, Amazon is actually growing their library, whereas Netflix is actually, theirs seems to be shrinking because, again, like, they're losing a lot of their licensing partners and they're just not willing to pay the money, essentially. And with Hulu, the way their stuff tends to work, the one like benefit they have over the other two is they tend to have, like, if you like TV, like, Hulu could be okay if it didn't have the commercials, only because when an episode airs on TV, it's on Hulu like a couple days afterwards. But the problem with that is, like, the downside to this, whatever this agreement is that they have to be able to do that, is that the episodes are only available for like up to 21 days after they've aired.
Weird.
And they pull them off again.
Yeah, fuck.
Hey, you know, Pirates Bay has them like at least 20 minutes after the show has gone live.
And they're yours forever, I get.
Well, and they're stealing. Yours forever.
But you are stealing a little bit. A little bit of stealing.
Here's how.
That's why I say that, like, Amazon is by far the best pay-for option in terms of subscription. I mean, if you're willing to pay per episode, which I think you are a lunatic if you are, because $2 per episode is ridiculous for a television show.
Well, how does that kind of break down? That's $48 for a season, right?
Yeah.
Here, that's how much we'd pay for the DVD box, but then you actually own the DVD box and it's yours, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I feel like television shows, and maybe this is just my personal opinion, but I feel like television shows don't really hold the value that, like, a video game does in terms of, like...
Only a couple, like, Battlestar Galactica, I'm happy I own that shit, that's always gonna stay with me, I fucking love that shit, but,
It comes down to the discussion Patrick was having about how you want to have, like, you want stuff that you have physical media of to be your collection. Like, you're showing off something that you are proud to, like, either participate in or been a part of or viewed. So, like, that's why, like, Patrick has a ton of, like, scary movies and whatnot and scary games, because he wants to show people, like, hey, this is, like, a proof thing.
Well, this is kind of part of who I am.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. I completely get that. But let's say I have a subscription to Time Warner or whatever it is for television. I should be able to watch whatever I watch and get it in any form that I choose to keep it around. I'm paying that company money monthly. And I know it's probably very elitist and very stupid to say that, but, you know, I don't watch the 2,000 other channels that are out there. I just want to watch certain things. And if I subscribe to Time Warner, I feel like legitimately I should be able to go out to Pirates Bay or wherever, get the episode from the TV because they're not showing it at the time I want to watch it, and watch it.
So you're saying it should be like it is with video games, where as long as you own the physical disc of this thing, like, you should be able to have the ISO on your computer?
Well, yeah, essentially, but not even a disc. Like, it's a subscription service, right? So let's say Steam had a subscription that was like $140, $50 a year, but you could play any game that they had in the library that they did, that was out there that they offered.
Yeah. See, here's the thing: there have been services like that, and like, you still don't own anything. Like, once your subscription is over, you have no access to any of that. So you, again, like, the problem with subscriptions like that is that you feel like you have ownership over it because you give them money. But with your subscription, all you are doing is essentially they're giving you an allowance to access this stuff as long as you continue giving them money. Mm-hmm. You own nothing.
Well, true. But I would also state that even Google Music, iTunes, any of those companies that have a Microsoft, whatever they're calling it nowadays, Zune or whatever the fuck they want to call it. You don't own any of that. When you purchase it, if you actually read through the terms and agreements, you own absolutely nothing. And they have the right to remove it from you, to remove it from your account whenever they want. So if you buy it legitimately, if I'm paying – yeah. But Steam at least said, you know what? If anything happens, you know, here's our big red lever or button.
So it's kind of started heading that direction as well, where, like, they offer, like, DRM free for a lot of their music now.
Yeah.
But still, when it comes down to it, like, when you buy anything off of a digital platform or pay a subscription, like, all you are getting is licensing. You are not owning anything whatsoever. Like, that's why I brought up Steam. Like, with Steam, if you buy, you know, let's say, I have Dota 2 up right now. If you buy Borderlands 2 on Steam, you have access to a license of Borderlands 2 through Steam. You don't own Borderlands 2. Like, we, at PC gaming, like, years ago, we gave up our right to own games. Like, a lot of people don't realize that.
I'm okay with that because I do subscribe to Steam, and I do have, and I'm not going to leave Steam, and I paid money to whatever, you know, 2K games for whatever. And I'm okay with that because they're going to keep letting me play it. They're not going to ever say, at least from what I know, ever say, no, you can no longer play that game, because that would be a horrible PR move. As long as I paid my money and I have a free account through Steam and I can play it, I'm okay with that. If I have to pay a cable company monthly for something and then they say, no, you can no longer watch that episode because, we don't want you to. I have an issue with that.
I guess a video game equivalent to that would be something maybe along the lines of maybe like PlayStation Plus or something, where you have access to those games while they're on there, but once they've been pulled, if you haven't downloaded them, you no longer have access to that, even though you were paying during that time.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, as long as you've downloaded it, you'll always have access to it. As long as you PlayStation Plus, or as long as you pay for your PlayStation Plus.
Yep.
But if you did not even start the download and they've pulled that off of the PlayStation Plus access or whatever, you won't have access to it. Like, you don't get like retroactive access to everything.
It's kind of like that. Like, what happens is, if you can elect to download and add it to your queue for downloading, and that counts as
Then never download it. Yeah. I guess it would be closer to like what Microsoft is doing now, where with them, if you download, like, say, let's right now Assassin's Creed 2 is free if you're a gold subscriber. Ooh. If you download that game now,
and then like
happens to your hard drive, say 2 years from now, and it becomes corrupt and you got to get a new hard drive, and Assassin's Creed 2 is no longer a free game with Xbox Live Gold, you can't just re-download it.
Yeah.
You've lost it.
Anyway, it's kind of weird because I just, while you guys did that, I was in the purchase of seeing what the language is when you buy stuff off Steam. So I put Rogue Legacy in my cart. So it's really important to note that what you do on Steam is you add it to your cart and then you purchase it for yourself. At no point do they actually say, do you buy this game?
It's always a license. Yeah. You are buying a license. Like, it'll actually say, like, when you get a Steam gift from somebody,
right,
it'll say like, so-and-so has gifted you a license for Rogue Galaxy.
Well, true. But very interesting what language you're using.
But
I'm not paying for Steam. I'm not paying to have an account with Steam. I think that's the big difference if we look at it. Like, let's say the cable company said, okay, I'm with AT&T, but I have to, and I guess I'd be okay with that aspect that if I don't know, maybe I'm being contradictory here when it comes to games and it comes to television and watching it. But if I pay for it, then I can watch it and I'm okay with that. Like, for me, Doctor Who, I buy the seasons when they come out on iTunes because I want to be able to watch it and I have access to it.
You watch Doctor Who?
You're one of the five people who buy stuff on iTunes?
Yes.
A lot of people buy stuff on iTunes, I think.
No, I love
anything on iTunes.
But, the reason I was bringing that up was stuff like the license to own stuff is actually, it's the written word of the agreements you've been signing by purchasing these games. But it has never actually been contested. And very importantly,
one thing I was going to bring up is like, that's why like there are so many different cases. It's hard to really like compare this one to another. Is like, we are in the fucking wild west right now digital ownership of stuff, digital rights. Exactly. Because as of right now, like at least here in America, it's definitely different over in the UK. They do have laws in place for ownership of digital purchases, but here in the United States, like, we don't have any laws like protecting the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Valve could come out and say, like, sorry, we're shutting down Steam. See you guys later. And
that's the beauty
of it. They don't owe us anything.
Because what you do have is laws that already state that EULAs don't matter. And so, so that's like the big battleground in the future. The battle that will inevitably happen that hasn't started yet is when something happens that inevitably goes, they try to take away your ownership of something you've purchased through their store, that is going to decide digital rights for the future. And it hasn't happened yet in the States. So we don't really...
It has, but it's been on like it's been on a case-by-case basis. I think where it's really going to be a big change is when there is a straight-up class action lawsuit of it.
Yeah.
We've had some case-by-case basis of like people getting banned from Origin and losing access to all of their games on their EA account or whatever, but like, none of it's really gone big enough that been seen in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it has to go in front of the Supreme to become part of law, right? So it has to. Yeah.
Everything's been settled out of court so far. Yeah. If it's gone to court at all, mm-hmm. So like, we haven't seen that yet. But yeah, we are definitely only years away from that happening. And
it's a bit early to be using whether you own something as an argument for a platform at the moment in the States.
There was a court battle a couple years ago about somebody died and they said, you know, who owns the iTunes library? And, it was to the fact that, well, you know, that person did and nobody else can get it. So
died, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Right. So when my father passed away in 2011, he had a huge iTunes library of things that he purchased. And 2012, I think it was. Maybe it was 2012, they came out with iTunes Match.
Right.
Essentially, it was, you know, $25 a year.
Yep.
And you can re-download all your stuff. If we own, if it's in our library and if it's in Apple's library,
yep,
they'll say, okay, well, we have it. You pay $25 a year. You can re-download it. And everything you download from iTunes right now is DRM free.
Yeah.
Essentially.
iTunes Match is awesome.
Right. So I basically at that point hooked up my dad's old hard drive to my computer, added all those to my account, and said scan. Right. And regardless if they were bought under his account, I was able – because before I wasn't able to play them because it would say please enter the – these were DRM songs. And so what I did is I added them and then deleted them once they were in iTunes Match and was able to re-download them as mine.
Nice.
You know, and that is a way around it because the publisher, the creator still gets their money for it because you're paying. And every time you play the song, they get cents on the dollar, whatever it is. For it, and I think that's a great idea, even for media or for movies. But you know, no one has been able to create that for television shows or movies.
Man,
but
yeah,
the
cable company fucking overlordship in the States just continues to piss me off. But whatever, I'm over here pirating my movies, and no, not movies. Sorry, I watch movies at cinemas, but pirating my TV shows as much as I want because I don't give a fuck about those people. And also, those shows are rarely ever even available in Australia to purchase, which is the crazy thing. Because if I hadn't waited like a year after, I think it was like a couple months after you guys for the Battlestar Galactica set. If they had announced that was coming to Australia like soon after you guys, then I would have just pirated the shit out of that. But anyway. Thurbleton.
Sorry.
What have you been playing? What's up?
Like, not much than the normal bit. I mean, like, it's
okay.
A lot of the time I would spend for, like, trying out new video games or whatnot has instead been, there's this, like, I guess it's a sandbox game called Reality that I've been helping beta testing it. Where all it's right. you go outside and it's like almost Oculus Rift where you walk around, and I don't know, I'm running out of ways to make this analogy make comedy sense.
but it's simulator.
No, earlier this week I drove to the Oregon coast or the Pacific coast, I guess.
Oh, you mean living? You're talking about real life.
Real
things.
Life.
Okay, that's fine. We're allowed to talk about real life. What did you do? What'd you do in your real life?
I drove to the coast. It was scenic and wonderful. And
was it with that lovely German lady or not?
Yeah.
Nice. No, so I'm not going to talk about that part of it because that's a bit weird. But
I'm curious about the German lady.
What happened? What's interesting about the Oregon coast? Is that like a place in...
It actually reminded me of... You remember that French game where all you do is just walk along the coast?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
It was like... Apparently it's just really foggy on the coast. And so I was like, am I in this game that French guy was talking about?
Nice.
So that was fun.
Okay. Cool.
That looked like such a good game.
And like it
did.
The thing about like Portland, I think why I like it I like it so much because I can just see mountains everywhere. So for a person who spent like the first, you know, quarter of a century of his life in plains, it's nice to see mountains. But there was just like I did some driving around today looking for stuff as previously mentioned, and there was just like mini farmers markets every two blocks.
What?
It was kind of insane. There were just like tons of like, I don't know if it was like this massive state fair sort of thing going on, but there's just everyone was out and about. Like,
there's people hawking goods. Do they
everywhere?
Hawk goods?
Yes. Those like those pitch up like the four corner tents that you get from like Target or something.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like I saw hundreds of those today.
Was it like a thing? Like, is there like a
yeah? It was like a
thing? I don't. I'm going to ask
maybe they have like a weekend farmers market or something.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Downtown we have a farmers market every weekend that runs like the whole weekend.
I'm aware of that. Downtown we have that too. That covers like three blocks worth of stuff. But
wow.
I'm talking about, like, I was driving around, not downtown.
Okay.
That was insane. Beyond that, I mean, just the normal of, like, I've been playing a ton of Arma, did some of the Guild Wars 2 stuff, Gary's Mod.
Yeah, so speaking of Gary's Mod, I was confused because I got a game invite from you for Gary's Mod, and I didn't realize you could send game invites to people who don't have that game.
That's actually a very annoying thing about Steam, is it doesn't tell you who owns the game. And it says, like, I think he's got it. This is a cool thing. He'd like it. And this will actually, this will tie into the previous topic of, the long and the short of it is I found some maps that were recreations of the Disneyland rides of, like, the House of Horror and the Haunted Mansion and the Tower of Terror, I think.
Right.
Like, those really cheesy rides where you get in, like, what was a roller coaster thing, and you just go around a haunted house, and it's very super cheesy, like, mm-hmm. in adorable fashion. I did, like, that was, people had made levels of that in Gary's Mod.
I continue to not understand why Gary's Mod is, is this why people play Gary's Mod? Just for the weird shit other people come up with? Is that, like, the idea behind?
Pretty much, like, it's like a weird sort of Minecraft before Minecraft existed of, like, people making these really neat games and things to do.
It sounds more like a harder to use but more rewarding Little Big Planet.
Sure.
Having no knowledge of Little Big Planet, I'm sure you're right. It's almost like it's like the new Disney Infinity without all the restrictions Disney could put on it of, like,
right,
doing whatever the heck
yeah,
you want.
So
Story's not over with.
Okay, go ahead.
I subscribed to them, subscribed to the guy who made it in the Steam Workshop, and uh-huh. that guy, like, basically, I booted up Gary's Mod to play it since I had done it earlier in the morning, and the maps were gone off my computer. And I was like, that's weird. I look up on the Steam Workshop, and the guy is gone. Like, he's been taken down because he's done something infringing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Disney could have, like, pull down a hammer or drop the hammer on his ass.
Maybe.
It's kind of sad.
That's weird.
Kind of sad. Because Disney's assholes about that kind of
stuff. Well, I mean, like, I was like, can you copyright that? If, like, someone's
recreated? Yeah. Totally, man.
All right,
totally.
Whatever. But,
it's kind of sad, but true.
Yeah. So it was weird that, like, something I downloaded had been taken off by Steam because the person who made it had been told to take it off.
Yeah, my point was, like, before these old people got on, I'm the youngest person here. This is crazy. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to say anything when you guys were talking about, like, using your tablets and whatnot on the crapper, but I'm like, I just read a book or contemplate, like, how the rest of my day is going to go.
Jesus.
Minus the book, but
wait.
It's just a nice thinking place, a way to relax.
On the crapper. I mean, come on.
It is.
Fuck yeah, Game Boy.
That in the shower.
I still play my DS on the crapper sometimes.
Put it in a Ziploc bag, go in the shower so that it doesn't get wet.
What? Does that work?
I've done that before.
I mean, didn't think of that.
It's just buttons. That's brilliant, actually. That's
brilliant. Jesus. Shit, I need to try that. All right, so I was going to say, before you old people start talking about TV, I was wondering what people are going to do in their spare time now that TV is, like, lowering in popularity amongst the younger generation. And stuff like Gary's Mod kind of strikes me as what the future is for casual entertainment. Like, I can see a group of people who just, like, play free-to-play games in their free time instead of, like, watching TV. Or, like, that kind of, just interactive experiences replacing TV for this, like, group of people who just don't watch TV anymore, because there's a growing youth of people who just don't watch TV, and that's, yeah. No takers, no interest.
I will say, you might be along a good line of that, because on average, I guess on capita of games I play that are multiplayer in fashion and have voice comms, I do find a large majority of just, like, younger kids playing something like Gary's Mod. But to be honest, I think if you want to go grand spectrum, it's going to be if people are doing stuff that not on the TV, it's going to be just, like, watching dumb YouTube videos Facebook games.
Facebook and YouTube. I guess you are right.
Yeah. Maybe the Microsoft CEO, when he quit Microsoft and went to, Zygax or whatever? Mm-hmm. Zynga?
Yeah. Zynga.
Zygax. Better name.
It wasn't Zynga.
Zygax would have been awesome.
We had a way better name.
But yeah, maybe he's in the right of it. Maybe there's going to be a world. Just a couple more years. Ride that bus. I think it's going to rule the world.
That gaming is going to be, you know, going to definitely get bigger. But Zynga is not going to be the one to do it.
That company is
probably less than a year away from fucking bankruptcy.
Yeah.
I would also like to bring up the last Scotchcast that we had. I think that I was a part of. I stated that the Oculus Rift CEO guy said that their biggest breakthrough market they're trying to get into right now is mobile platforming.
Yeah.
So there is something to be said about that, and I hope that would be freaking awesome to sit in my chair, like, put goggles on, and play.
Go ahead. Hmm? Finish the thought, sir.
He was done. He was done.
That was it.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure if it was on a recorded time when we were together or not, but I talked about how before Oculus had made such a prediction or anything about how I would be like playing the Oculus Rift while on the bus, and the people in Portland would kick the crap out of me because I was too weird.
or pick your pockets. People who are entirely like sensorily deprived on public transport, kind of free. So they're like the perfect people to like roll, which is what we call mug, or just like they're just perfect like secure, like low security targets for many bad things to happen to. I don't know.
Wasn't the terminology rolling someone like back in the 90s?
We still use it. I don't know. We didn't use the word mug very often here.
I don't know. I mean, where I grew up, if you use the term roll, it'd be like pushing a cow over.
Or if you want to roll.
Which might, I mean, the younger generations are like, you know, they tend to be doing stuff the older generations did as kids nowadays. So maybe that might come back into being a thing, pushing cows over.
You want to do some cow tipping? Come on down to my ranch. It's a good time.
So let's take a trip to Cynic's movie review corner.
I just want to say I love how every other like media venue I've heard has loved Pacific Rim. So
yeah,
you must be hating all of them.
No, I find it like I think it was Angry Joe made, and I'm surprised it was him who made the statement it wasn't him. It was his friend who was on the same review as him. Made like an argument that kind of made me realize why people like Pacific Rim so much. In that it is, and you guys said this as well, but for some reason when that person explained it in full, it made sense to me. Pacific Rim is totally a live action anime. In that, I believe those are the words you guys used, right? But the it was when he's talked about like how the characters were one-to-one ripoffs of like specific characters in other anime, like, and he started using like references. Just the Russian dudes were like perfect from like direct rip from, like, you'd see that in Street Fighter, you'd see that in everything else.
Yeah, they talked about that in one of the Tested podcasts too.
Yeah, that just like absolute like one-to-one anime, like the things I hated so much about it are tropes of 90s anime or 80s anime. So I guess. But then, like, my argument against that is, well, things have progressed since then, and anime has gotten much better. But whatever. But it's cool. It's fine to like Pacific Rim. You're not bad. In fact, I'm probably a bad person for not liking it. By the sound of it.
Yes, you are a bad person. Now, tell us about your other movie reviews.
So I watched two movies yesterday because it was my birthday this week, and one of them was
Happy Birthday to you.
Yay!
Happy Birthday.
No, we'll get sued. Yet stop. Yeah, continue more.
Oh, sorry.
Wolverine.
Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Oh, The Wolverine.
Was on. Okay. And
is that about a little critter that digs in my trash and like tears everything up?
I hope not. Wolverines are dangerous. Oh. If there's one digging through your trash, you need to call pest control or animal control because that's fucked up. But I have to say, I love that movie. What the fuck? I don't know how I did turn around.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. You didn't like Pacific Rim, but you liked the Wolverine.
I hated Pacific Rim, but I fucking love Wolverine.
I have a question. Do you have a man crush? Is that what it is?
You just you cannot talk about your you cannot talk about movies on this podcast anymore.
So I just love Hugh Jackman.
Jackman was stacked in that movie. Jesus Christ. People talked about this man guy being big. Jackman was just gigantic for Wolverine.
so large.
Had to be on roids. He had. He's just fucking. I don't. I know it's oft to accuse someone of being on roids, but that guy was gigantic in that movie. But anyway, no, it's. And my friends with me at the time pointed my logical inconsistency out in my loving of Wolverine but hating of Superman, etc. And my response to that is, Wolverine is, like, in the end, the movie is just about Wolverine, the chick, and the evil dude. And it's just the three dudes, and everything's really, like, comparatively down-to-earth and mellow. And it's only about, like, the progression of their characters as the movie goes on. Right, like if you distill it down, so it's like all this other stuff is happening, and Wolverine has like a lot of set pieces, and he's a full on badass, but it's all like low in scale. Like the set piece is them having a fight on a train, and it's just him versus five other dudes, and that's it. And it's like that for like 10 minutes, it's him fighting five other dudes, and the fact that it's like so low in scale, so like so much about like his character progression, because it's again like revisiting some of the stuff from the comics, which is his trip to Japan. But obviously, I think in the comics it's actually happening in feudal Japan, whereas in the movies it's happening in present day. In fact, it's actually set. I didn't know this going in, but it's set after X-Men 3. So he's killed Jean in the end of X-Men 3. Spoilers, I guess, for that 10-year-old movie. Or whatever.
Oh, geez, spoil the movie. Oh no,
but spoiled a X-Men fucking classic. 3.
Yep. So he's actually dealing with his killing of Jean. And like that's kind of his progression to the movie, and so he's learning to be a hero again.
Yeah, that's kind of
killing Jean Grey. That's not right.
That's crazy. They're continuing the continuity of that movie for a couple different reasons. One, like the fact that this is kind of a spinoff movie, and then they would actually like reference events that happened in the main series. That's kind of crazy. But also the fact that they would even acknowledge that terrible fucking movie, and the fiction from it. Like that's ballsy.
Yeah, and I'm not going to spoil the thing that happens after the credits, but it also references that
Jean Grey is actually alive still. Because
I can confirm, thankfully, that Jean Grey is dead, and hopefully she's dead.
Sorry, Phoenix is alive.
Oh God. But no,
I just want to say I think my favorite Wolverine part was, I can't remember which movie it was. Was it one of the Iron Man or the one of those spin-off movies where they walked into a bar and they saw him sitting there at a bar and they asked him if they want to join, and he was just like, so fuck great. Off. Absolutely loved that. That was the best part of the entire thing.
That was First Class.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
First Class. Yeah. Oh, that was so good.
Oh, so good.
I maintain best X-Men movie is X-Men First Class.
That was a surprisingly really, really good X-Men movie.
Yeah. And this isn't that good. I'd probably give it 4 puppies out of 5 puppies. But I thought it was... It's really, maybe it's because I was already familiar with the source material, so there was like stuff in there that I was like, yeah, fan service. But I don't know. I think the fact that they made it like a really like comparatively down to earth about the characters, he goes through an emotional journey, stuff happens, and it was badass all the way through. I thought it was really good.
I'm with Squiddle. I think you just have a man crush on Jackman.
Maybe. So the second movie I watched was The Conjuring. Have you guys heard of that?
Oh, okay. Okay. How was it?
Okay. So
really that one.
So it's a horror movie set in the 70s, and you're following based on real life story of these two demonologists in one of the investigations they went through. How can I say this without it being a spoiler? Okay. How about this? So that movie is the type of horror movie that I don't find scary, in that it relies on I can't say that either. Okay, so how much have you seen, Drew? How much have they done in
release
footage? Okay.
I've been specifically like not really avoiding, but like
right.
I've heard the trailer. I heard on a radio station they played the trailer, so I heard the audio.
Uh-huh.
But that's literally all I know about that.
So, honestly,
I'm okay with, is it good?
So I was with 4 people, when we watched that movie, and it was a good gamut because like all of us had watched like horror movies together. So it's pretty much always the same group of guys. And, the last movie that really terrified us as a group was Paranormal Activity 1. Yep.
That was a great movie.
That was, I think, even I though think Matthew Rory disagrees, I thought that was absolutely spectacular.
That was probably one of the best found film movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was absolutely like, Cloverfield was pretty fucking good, but yeah. Like, just,
high five. We like the two people in the world.
Gonna,
like
you're going to argue movies. It's better than Blair Witch? Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What I loved about this movie is other than like the very final scene of the movie, mm-hmm. they did such a fucking amazing job. They had so much self-control mm-hmm. with the special effects and like what they allowed you to see on the camera.
Yeah.
That you literally saw nothing that was unbelievable mm-hmm. until literally the last few seconds of the movie.
And that's the sad thing because like ended up watching the American cut, right? So the police come in the end?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
No. The theatrical cut that I saw, it ended after they were thrown.
Oh, good. So that's the European cut. You saw the right one.
Excellent. Okay. That was what was in theaters.
Okay, cool. Because in some parts of the States, they had a second cut where in the end, like the police come in, they shoot her. And that's the end of the movie. Which ruins everything. I haven't been able to find a version of that cut, but yeah, it exists. It's confirmed. But no, like, so that movie was amazing the whole way through because the sense of tension was there. You never saw the enemy. Like it was just ratcheted up. Like the most scared I've ever been in the cinema is in Paranormal Activity 1 when he's going to walk into his backyard. And I was just fucking shitting myself.
It's just like I said, like going back to the self-control thing, like they did such a great job with the special effects.
Yeah.
Of like what you saw the ghost doing and everything, that the tension that they built.
Yeah.
It got to the point during that movie where every time, because for people who haven't seen the movie, like it kind of transitions between like daytime, him filming her or himself or both, like talking about the events and stuff and him researching and mm-hmm. all this other stuff, like daytime stuff that's, you know, not scary, but just kind of building story and building characters and stuff. But like, it got to a point in that movie about probably like after the first or second night they showed, where like as soon as it cut to black and then like it went back to like nighttime or
nighttime. Maybe
went to nighttime, night vision, like you immediately just got that feeling in your stomach, just immediately. Like you just dreaded whatever was going to happen.
Yeah. The whole like for one of ours, one of the cinemas, because I watched it twice, like in cinemas. And I've watched it a couple times after that as well. But in the second time, I think it was when I watched it in the cinema, it got to like the fourth night and a dude in like halfway through the movie got up and shouted, "Fuck this," and ran out. That happened in real life. Like that actually happened in the cinema I was in. So yeah, it was just, I had the tremendous sense of like, because you knew when it was going to be scary, but the way it did the scares is done in such a way, it worked, and it just kind of like it kind of self reinforced the fear, which is awesome. Conjuring kind of does that in a lot of ways, but the method of their scares is not a type that I find scary. Like I prefer the way Paranormal does it, and I won't go further into the comparison there because it'll spoil. But as a person who found Paranormal Activity incredibly scary, I didn't find The Conjuring scary at all. Like, I didn't actually... I was actually there. There was a couple of jump scares. Obviously, jump scares always get me, but as I've talked before in the past about Dead Space, but when it actually comes to just pure seeing there in a cinema and the movie having effect on me, it actually failed to have that effect on me at all, like, throughout the entire movie.
Well, I mean, like, when you say jump scares, like, was it, like, good jump scares or was it, like, mirrors jump scares?
No, I'd say that the one thing I will level at The Conjuring is at no point is it, it's very traditional, but it's very well executed.
Okay.
So
that was, like, that like, mirrors, like, there were points of that movie that felt like they could be really good, but every single scare in that movie was predictable as fuck.
And actually, like, well, it depends on what kind of moviegoer you are. But I found I could level that.
As somebody who watches a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, like I found I could level that criticism at The Conjuring. But that's because I wasn't in that mindset of being scared, I was able to sit there and be more critical. Whereas my friends who went with me, the two, like, we were sitting four people in a row, and the two people on the left side, I was on the far right hand side. The two people on the far left hand side were fucking terrified for, like, the way they described it afterwards when we talked about it is, if you consider paranormal as like a sine wave of it going, it starts at like not scary, then it goes scary, then it goes not scary, then it goes scary, then it goes not scary, then it goes scary, then it, because like, nighttime, right? It does that for the whole movie.
Yeah.
This, the way they described it, in their opinion, it kind of like went to like the 75% mark. It never got as scary as Paranormal 1, but it kind of just stayed there for the whole movie. So it never let off.
Oh, see, I actually like that Paranormal Activity did that. Like, it helped. Yeah. It made those points that much scarier because, yeah, again, like, you get that, you get the audience to relax, let their guard down, you know,
yeah,
daylight, they're joking around or, you know, talking to this person, talking to that, whatever. And then, again, going back to that feeling of, as soon as that night vision comes on, you're fucking back in it again. You're, yeah, you know, you're gripping your chair tightly. Like, it's just that feeling again.
Yeah.
And if it's always on, that's when horror movies, I feel like, are at their worst.
I would very much agree with you, but it's not necessarily as you're thinking. Like, it's not like they try to scare you for the whole thing. It's just that the tension stays
off.
It's
just like because, constant tension.
Okay. Yeah, the tension stays.
See, but again, like, that can be exhausting. Like,
I agree.
As the watcher, like, that can be really exhausting.
Yeah. So. And actually, I'm not joking here. We walked out of cinema, and the guy on the far left hand side, he smelled because he was sweating, and he had been sweating for the majority of that film. He doesn't usually do this, and he was like, "Yeah, dude, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and I love that movie." He loved that movie.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. I think I'm gonna wait until it's like on demand at least or something, because I feel like horror movies can be good in theaters.
Be broken by the audience.
Yeah, like the horror movies are the kind of thing I really prefer to enjoy in my home in silence, complete darkness.
Yeah. It's a good way to watch it. So like, they were like absolutely blown away by it. They thought it was awesome. I think that they'd probably give it on the scale of five puppies. They'd probably give it five puppies. I'm going to give it about three puppies, but it mainly because it is one of those movies that not everyone will find scary. I did not find it scary at all, but I was able to recognize that it was incredibly well done. Whereas some of my friends, they found it terrifying, and they loved it from start to finish. So it's really kind of up and down depending on who you are and the audience you're watching with, obviously. And that's it. That's my movie review corner for the week. I think it'd be the last one for a while because there's not much coming out except for Elysium, which is like in August, and that's going to be awesome. Cannot wait for that. Aside from that, I finished two video games this week as well. Let me have a look. Have I talked about them on the show before? Let me check. Hello.txt. All right, the first one I finished was Dust and Legion Tale. Has anyone else finished that here?
Nope.
I beat. So the running bet at the time of us talking about it of whether I'd beat Squiddle to the end has been, yeah, there you go. Anyone who bet on me won, because fuck. That game kind of just grabs you. Squiddle, where are you at now?
I would say probably the same place I was the last time you asked me.
God damn it.
So the game selectively grabs you.
Selectively grabs you.
No, it definitely grabbed me, but work got in the way. And then when I got back, at the times I could play, I really didn't want to delve into something that would pull me away from reality too much because I knew I had to go back and do things.
Right.
But on that same note, I did start checking out Witcher 2 today, so that's probably a bullshit excuse because that game is hella crazy when it comes to having to do things.
Witcher 2 is really good, dude.
That is a RPG of motherfucking RPGs.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It's pretty spectacular. I only played a bit of it, but I've watched the rest by Let's Play, and I think that game is pretty up there. I'd actually revert my statement I made before. I don't think it's as good as Skyrim, but again, I didn't play all of it, so who knows? Maybe it is.
I like Skyrim for what it is.
Yeah,
being able to wander around and do things, and like I choose to do a quest or not, or I choose to kill this person or not. Whereas Witcher 2, I couldn't just kill the people that were next to me,
right?
And that kind of made me sad. But you know, whatever.
No holds barred. Like, in terms of just pure plot, there is no comparison. The Witcher is just fucking, it is spectacularly well done by comparison in terms of plot. That is, the actual main plot of Skyrim is just fucking bollocks by comparison. But
I am Dragonborn. Rawr.
yeah, that's shouting, right? But no, Dust Legion Tale. It's really good. I think it was really. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think by the end of it, like, it definitely feels like an indie game. It's very low in scope. It's only like 15 or 20 areas in the game, and like there's only a couple, like four, with like Twitch power, like what's the name, the your companion, her powers that augment your dust storm.
Fizzkit?
I don't think it's Fizzkit.
Fizzkit. Wait, what was that from? I'm thinking Fizzkit. That was something else.
Whatever her name is, Fixie? I don't know.
Fidget.
Like, there's only a couple of her powers. I think there's only like four powers from her, which means there's only like four bosses, like really big bosses, in the game. But it's pretty quality. Like, definitely, it deserves to be looked at in terms of a game in general. It's not good for an indie game. It's just good, like for any games by any game standards. I just like the problem was that I didn't feel like there was enough combat variety by the end of it. And by the end, I was just kind of doing the same thing in every piece of combat, because when you realize that you can just like start Dust Storm in the air and then just spam one of the, like, either of the fidget powers, and it just kills everyone on screen, and you just keep doing that over and over. You essentially just become a dive bombing helicopter kind of thing, where you're just like zooming around the screen, dive bombing. And everything dies, and you just move on to the next screen. And I just did that for the rest of the game after I was able to do that. So, nice. But it was good. It was good. I'd probably give it 8 out of 10. It's not bad. In terms of Durin, like, I wouldn't drop a game you're enjoying to switch over to Dust and Legion Tale and play that instead. But if you have like 12 hours free, because that's about how long it took me to finish it, definitely worth picking up and playing. The other game I played, which is perhaps less so, they're still pretty good. I finished Hotline Miami as well. Start to finish. Finished it.
Start. Wow.
Yep.
Like one sitting?
No. It was like two.
Oh.
Three sittings. But okay. It was this week. Like, I picked it up this week, man. And finished it this week. I don't know, man.
I want your time.
I don't know. I don't know. So I bought the Vita version. I was talking to Thurbleton about this. I bought the Vita version because I thought it'd be awesome, like perfect for the Vita. And in terms of structure, it is like pretty much perfect for the Vita, and like replaying levels to like get better scores or unlock a mask or something, or like just like the time you spend in any particular level was all like pretty much perfect for the Vita. But the controls just do not work as well at all on Vita as they do on PC.
Can I ask for a possible spoiler?
Sure.
Because I have an idea of how the game is mm-hmm. playing right now since I'm playing it. I just want like a yay or nay on that. Are you an insane person and the people you're talking to are actually your alter egos in your head when you go into your cutscenes and you are actually just a fucked up person?
My response to that is that's how I thought it was going to go, and I wish that was how it went.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, Nate, I guess that's a spoiler, but whatever. It's just it's kind of eliminating one possibility. A lot of people really love the ending, and it's a very 80s ending. Like, it's very, like, in line with, like, movies like, what's that famous war movie with the river, and he's going down a river.
A Bridge Over the River Kwai?
No.
No, I don't think.
I believe that is now two podcasts in a row. That movie has been brought up. I could be crazy.
It is a very good movie. Bridge Over the River Kwai is a very good movie.
It is a good movie.
They don't go down a river. They build a bridge over it. And I don't know how you remote
the Dirty Dozen.
I was thinking of a Giant Bomb Quick Look, actually, I think, where that got brought up.
Fuck. Now I need to find that. It was with the guy who's in West Wing. Fuck.
Emilio Estevez.
Fuck. What's that movie? It's
Sean Connery.
Paint It Black is the main song.
Twisted Metal.
People are going crazy at home. I cannot believe I'm looking this up now. I can't like not bring this up. Let's see. Motion Picture Festival.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
When I bring it up, albums of B-sides. God damn it. What, Full Metal Jacket? No, it wasn't Full Metal Jacket. I'm thinking of the wrong movie then.
Thin Red Line? I don't fucking, who knows?
We Were Soldiers?
Think 80s, think 90s.
Shit.
It's along the lines of Full Metal Jacket. It's like one of those like Vietnam War movies.
Armageddon?
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder. There you go.
Oh, you asshole.
I don't know. Congo. I don't know. Now.
So Pongo.
Oh, Killing Fields.
I've already said. Yeah, sure. Oh. Killing Fields. Okay. So if you look at movies like The Platoon, Apocalypse Now, Full Metal Jacket, there's a very like specific 80s kind of tone to them, like a very nihilistic kind of tone. And that's very much what Hotline Miami hits with its storyline. But I'd actually prefer if it went like the more 2000s, late 1990s tone as Squiddle went up with it all being in your head. That's a kind of like trope that came to its epitome with probably Fight Club, but it obviously exists both before and after then.
Goddamn spoilers.
But
number one rule.
But yeah, I wish it went that direction, but it didn't. But aside from that, like the controls on both PS3 and Vita are just not, he did not tune them well enough, or that group of people did not tune them well enough for that platform, because it requires an amount of precision that I don't think the sticks can give, and they give you like no auto aiming. And I think if they'd given a bit of auto aim, it would have fixed it and it made it really fun. But what it ended up is there's a lot of times where I was failing to execute a move, even though my timing was there. It was just that the specific direction the sticks were pointing did not allow me to do it. And how that game works is everything's one hit kill. So I can be like 3/4 way through the level, and this one moment would fuck me over, and then I had to just restart. That's annoying.
That's sort of the venue of like the Massacre games. Not necessarily like the I Want to Be the Guy sort of, because that's the level trying to fight back and trick you. But right, like the Super Meat Boys, like it's those are like Hotline Miami. It's you have no one to blame but yourself.
But it's
I think what Thurman's saying is you're just bad.
Well, no, I mean, like I like the one complaint I levied against Hotline Miami was how the mouse is, it's a free roam. It's not like you get a targeting reticle that can move across the entire map instead of something that is just relative to like your person. So for example,
That was what I kind of worried about with the PS3 and Vita version initially. Like you were talking about, like you thought the controls would lend themselves very well to it. But I'm like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, but as soon as you let go of the stick, it's immediately going to center back on your character again.
No,
I'd want it to center back.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, wow.
So how it works is that it remembers the direction the stick was pointing when the stick comes back to neutral, which is kind of cool. Like you can set it up that if you point it correctly towards a door, you can just kind of let go of the stick and just shoot as people come towards you, if you're trying to trap them that way. And the way it scrolls around is you actually just use the touchscreen and you scroll it around that way. And actually it kind of really works because you can like scroll it down, find the person in the next room, touch them. So it's multi-touch capable. So you just scroll to the next room while keeping your finger there, keeping the scroll locked. You tap the dude you want to auto-target, and then now you're auto-targeting him. So you can just burst into a room and just fire once and you're done. So it actually works out pretty well in a lot of cases. But I don't think it was my fault. It was just like, because like what would happen is, for example, say you have the stick pointing in a specific diagonal direction that's not exactly north, south, northeast, or like north, northwest, like not in the 45 degree mark, but somewhere in between 90 degrees and 45 degrees, right? Like just somewhere in there. If you let go of the stick, it actually snaps you to the closest, I think, 45 degree, if not 90 degree angle. So it actually
removes. Wow.
Yeah, those are my problems with lighting. So if you're feathering the stick, for example, the dead zone isn't done perfectly. So at the edge, it would be exactly where you're pointing and being perfect. But if you're feathering it and want to just move it a little, so you move a little bit far from the outermost reaches of where the stick can reach, it then snaps. Because it hits the dead zone, and
that is terrible.
Yeah, so it just really didn't
like what I described already didn't sound ideal.
Yeah,
like the snapping back with the analog or whatever, like that, that already didn't sound that great.
Yeah.
That is fucking the worst.
Exactly. So it got to the point that the only way I was able to complete levels was to literally tap people to auto target them as quickly as possible and then hit the trigger so I could shoot them, because like literally using the right stick just didn't feel right. So I ended up just pirating the PC version. So I paid $10 for the console version, and it was on $2 on Steam. And I was like, fuck it, I'm not paying an extra $2 for this game, for when it gave me like a more expensive but broken version of it. So I just pirated the PC version, and it worked out pretty well. Like, the music of that game does grow on me. Like, I was talking about not particularly liking it last week. I think it totally works in the context of the game.
The music is good. I feel like there's not enough of it, so it gets very fucking repetitive. Like, for what that game is, that music is very repetitive. They needed a lot more variety to it.
Yeah, and the fact that they bring back music, especially,
when Third was streaming it, I mean, I absolutely loved to sit in there over and over, and he would reload it. It was fun just to watch, because of the music. The music really kind of kept me...
Mm.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed my torment. Do you want me to dance for you more?
And that game gets hard, like, no joke.
Oh yeah. I'm like, I think on chapter maybe 3 or 4 or something like that right now, and I'm like, this is just for me. It's annoying because I'll clear a whole stage per se, and then I'll get to the second one, and I can't beat it. I cannot get through it, and then I'll close it out, and then I'm back to the first part. I'm like, oh god, I don't want this again.
Yeah, and you haven't hit like a proper, like, there's an easy early boss that you can just shoot with a couple times with the shotgun and he's done. But so you haven't met like the proper bosses in that game yet, because the biker guy just took me like half an hour to beat, because that guy's a fucking asshole. Oh
no, no, I did fight the one dude,
the fat guy, right?
I guess the big guy from like the stereo in the little DJ area with the chick on the bed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a stereo. I think that's a torture room.
Oh, I thought it was a stereo. So he came through, and I had the shotgun. I'm like, all right, easy money. Boom. And then all of a sudden, I'm dead. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, that fight's kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
But I like how that guy becomes a regular unit later on.
Yeah, he's a regular unit. And that's what I mean. Like, so you shoot him a couple times, he goes down, and it's not too bad. Like, but once you get to the biker guy... Well, I'll describe it, because he's the first like main boss, and it's not really a big spoiler, because playing it is the difficulty. Hearing what happens is not particularly like spoilery. So it's a biker guy.
It's like Dark Souls in that respect, yeah.
Yeah, and Rogue Legacy. Like, so you
Shit. Hmm? I have something else to talk about.
You have Dark Souls to talk about.
I do.
So you walk into the room, and you actually have no weapons on you. And the enemy has a knife. And anyone who played that game knows that a knife is the fastest weapon in the game, and it kills everything one hit as well, except for the big guys. But yeah, like, it just fucking destroys you. And it just face melts you in every way. And what they have is this really good rubber bandy kind of AI. Not in that, like, it's not like a forward, backwards kind of thing. It's like, he stays a specific, like, knife fighting distance from you. And as you move, he kind of stays in that distance, but, like, kind of comes a little bit closer or a little bit further away, depending on how close you are to the walls. So it's like, it feels very much like you're in a knife fight. Like, you're still like staying at a very specific distance from one another. As a person who's a sword fighting in the past, it feels like really, really awesome. Like, you're kind of maintaining spacing. When you move diagonally, he moves diagonally as well, but in a realistic manner or semi-realistic manner, but like staying in a specific like kind of radius from you. And it feels really great. But you have no weapons. He has a knife. So what happens is, you see that there's a bag of golf clubs in the corner, so you have to go down there, get a golf club. Now, the first thing I thought you could do was, if you throw most weapons at enemies, it stuns them. I thought you just have to pick up a golf club, wait for him to charge you, throw the golf club, and it stuns him, and then you can finish him off. I thought that was how I was going to do it. But you throw the golf club, and he just dodges out of the way, and he just comes up to you and shivs you. And he's just like, it takes you forever just to be able to realize that you can't, because the knife is faster than the bat in this case. I swear they put this in, or that argument came from this fight, because if you come up to him, he just shivs you faster than you can swing with the bat. So you actually have to do like this whole rigmarole of, he has these three throwing knives. Oh yes, he also has throwing knives. He has three throwing knives, and if he misses you with the throwing knife, he gets stuck in the wall. Then he goes up to the throwing knife and tries to pull it out of the wall, and that's when you can hit him. So you have to like dodge him, move around the room constantly, hit him only once every like 30 seconds. It's actually pretty difficult and very, very hard.
You know, I love that. I don't care what anyone says. I love that MMOs have existed because they have made single-player game boss fights interesting.
Yeah, multi-stage boss fights and that kind of stuff is kind of
yeah.
Well, it's not
like
just MMOs.
Like multi-phase boss fights are definitely something brought on by MMOs
or like early JRPGs, but in very different ways. You're pretty much right. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, it's good. I love the music, pretty good. I haven't purchased it or anything, but it's definitely good while you're playing it. The plot, I think, could have ended better, but some people really love it, and it's definitely very 80s. And I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. I liked it a lot.
I would also state if you use any sort of cheat engine, which I have bowed down to using for that stupid game. God, it's so hard. if the characters use a knife, mm-hmm. you will still get killed regardless if you put unlimited health on in one hit. So it's still like, because there's always that guy with the knife and he's going to get you every single time.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Don't worry, man.
I'm glad they did that.
You get a mask that makes all bullets silent and is just rigged.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just
rigged. I used it for the rest of the game. You get it like level like 11 or 10. There's like 18 levels. So I use just the rest of the game. It's fantastic. Yeah, I'd actually say the middle is easy, and the end is easier than the start, I guess. But anyway, that's pretty much I was tossing up with playing Tales of Zillia. Tales of Graces F, but ended up not getting it because that game has possibly the worst writing in any JRPG ever, and I have played a lot of JRPGs in my time. Oh my god.
Okay, so you were actually, before the podcast, you were talking about Tales of Graces F, not Tales of Zillia, then.
Yeah, I'm going to buy Tales of Zillia when that comes out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I can't wait. I said the wrong name. But yes, it's Tales of Graces F. It has got pretty good gameplay, but goddamn, that story. I watched the Let's Play of it to see if I wanted to play it, and I rage quit a Let's Play. Let's just say that. I didn't know you could do it, but I did.
I clicked that mouse button real hard because I was pissed.
Yeah, essentially. God damn. It wasn't the game that got me pissed as much as there's a one moment that I saw coming from a mile away. Well, it was still relatively surprising because I thought they wouldn't do it, but they did it. So I saw it coming, and it was really poorly acted and really poorly voice acted, and this thing happens, and the guy who was Let's Playing started crying. And what? I was... Yep.
What?
Yeah, that would make you rage quit.
And I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Like, not even like acting crying because he's on camera, but like literally. Nope.
Like sniffling and shit when the stupid thing happens. It was just,
I'm going to need a link to this.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's
this bad. Sounds like the fucking worst.
It's bad. And that was the better of the two. Like, the other guy didn't cry or anything, but the other guy was a real, like, he just wasn't interesting to watch or funny at all.
Yeah.
So this guy was at least funny remotely, but yeah, that was just like, nope, I'm done. I'm done with this game. I'm done with this Let's Play. But thankfully, Tales of Zillia is coming out in 2 weeks, so I'm going to get my RPG on. Durin!
Yeah, I had somehow completely forgotten about the most bullshit game. So I think I talked about it on the last Lincoln cast?
But you only got up to...
Well, then a friend had bought it for me, and I basically had played the tutorial, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, aside from a friend having bought it for me, some other friends also had picked it up recently, or one friend had picked it up, and another one bought it for another, and so they've kind of been playing it.
Prison Architect?
We're talking about... Oh. God damn it. Okay, so I played more games than I remembered.
Okay. No, you set that up like, it's the worst game ever, it's got a tutorial, I'm like, wait, is he... I told him that game was decent.
Come on, Dark Souls. Souls, so I, because my friends have been playing it, like it's kind of gotten me into going ahead and playing it, partly because one of my friends has gotten pretty far into it, so he can kind of help a little bit, which is, I feel like it's kind of necessary. Like, I feel bad
every
time I ask him for help, in terms of like not him actually literally coming into my game for help, but like just
Okay.
Before I go through some white fog, I'm like, hey, this is where I'm at. You know, is there a boss?
You go to him for counsel.
Yeah.
So I've been playing some more of it. I did wuss out and get the Drake Sword because fuck that game.
It's actually. What kind of character are you playing? Are you playing strength or dex?
I'm playing a warrior.
Yeah, same, but like, because warrior starts with like 14 strength or something, and like.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely going more heavily into strength.
Strength. Okay, cool. Sadly, is probably the better sword you can get at the time. Because I thought I was going to go Drake Sword, but I ended up going Dex, and there's an Uchi Katana as well near the start, and that just destroys. But yeah.
The reason why I decided to go ahead and get the Drake Sword was pretty much the gargoyle fight.
So that wasn't easy for. I don't know what you.
See, that's the thing. Like because I had the Drake Sword, it was kind of an easy fight. I was able to actually finish it the second time around.
Right.
In fact, even the first time, I got both of them, like the very first encounter with them, I got both of them down to like a third of their health. So not a terrible first encounter.
The one where you rolled off the ceiling, the roof, and that was how you lost?
No. That wasn't me.
Okay.
So I basically got overzealous and ended up pincered between them.
Oh, no.
My game.
Yep.
But the second time around, I managed to kill the first guy before the second one even landed, so that makes that fight trivial at that point.
Yeah.
So that fight actually wasn't terrible, and I felt pretty good. Like, after doing that fight and like having no real like, I literally had no counsel for that fight whatsoever. I accidentally went through the fog, not realizing that's what that was. And
nice.
Of course, you can't go back.
Yep.
And so after I died the first time and had done so well, I was like, screw it, I'll just go ahead and do it again and killed him. So I felt pretty good. Like, like, okay, maybe I can be a Dark Souls player.
Yeah.
So I continued playing the game, got a little bit further, and then I got to the Capra Demon. Fuck that fight.
Is the Capra Demon the one where...
It's the one where you come through the fog and immediately fucking hits you for three quarters of your goddamn health.
No,
okay, I'll probably have to be more specific.
Where is
it? It's the Lowerberg.
Is it on a staircase? Like, is it standing on a? Is there a staircase there?
It's like you got like you go just like you go over a short bridge. There's a staircase on your right. You go through the fog, and there's the Capra Demon and the two dogs.
Two dogs, and is the one with the big record. Knife arms?
What is the name of this boss again?
Capra Demon.
Oh, I kept hearing Caca Demon, which made me think of Cacadads.
As soon as you go through, like, he's directly in front of you, there's a dog basically on either side of him that kind of come at you, and there's a staircase on your left-hand side.
I see it. Yep, that guy.
Yeah.
So
I did that fight, or I say I did it, I lasted about 2 seconds, and died. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, like, okay, my friend was playing a second character because he's been helping out another friend. He's actually like actively going into his game and helping him out and everything. So it's like, okay, he has a character around my level. I'll go ahead and bring him into my game and we'll just go ahead and do this fight. So I go all the way back to the Firelink Shrine, make myself human, head all the way back over there again, and am attempting to bring him into the world. And he's like, he basically told me, like, you know, go ahead and head back there and do that and then head over here. People don't really do PvP this early in the game, so you don't really have that. So I go ahead and head back there, and after about 5 failed attempts at trying to summon him, it seemed like because of server latency problems, like we would start the summon and then he would just kind of disappear.
Right.
Suddenly, it's like, hey, you've been invaded by this person.
Yay!
And I basically explained that to him, and he's like, well, here's your options. You can either try to kill them, or you can go die in the boss fight because then it'll force them to leave.
I think you just like Alt F4 as well.
and I tried to use the thing that like gets rid of other spirits or whatever, but like apparently that doesn't work with getting rid of people who have invaded. It only works with, I guess, getting rid of like friendlies.
I think it just stops them from being able to heal or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, we went, like, another 15 minutes, like, seriously that long of trying to summon him into my game.
Yep.
And just would not work. And then eventually that guy showed up. I don't know where the hell he spawned in whenever he did invade. But to get to me. So he had, like, fist weapons that did, like, electrical damage?
Yep. Okay.
I know that even existed.
I don't know. I'm willing to say that he did something and there was he had things that looked like that. Yep.
And so he's basically just fucking killed me.
Yep.
And I basically gave like the actual Capra Demon fight like two more attempts, which lasted about as long as the first one. And then just shut the game down and I haven't gone back to it.
So I kind of killed the Capra Demon in like less than 30 seconds and it was over. And he didn't take me to less than half my health.
I've heard that like what you want to do is basically like bait that attack out of him, dodge around, go up the stairs, take out the dogs, and then it's a trivial fight. I cannot get around him to not have that attack hit me.
What, the first attack?
The very first attack. He hits me every time.
Don't you have a shield?
Yes, but it doesn't matter because when I block it, it still takes 3/4 of my health.
Weird. Oh, okay. So that means so either your shield doesn't block full physical damage or it has low stability. So you're immediately getting like knocked out of the shield.
It's a tower shield plus one.
Oh, Jesus. You have a tower shield and you're getting destroyed by the Capra Demon? I just don't know, man. I don't, because I can block pretty much all of his attacks, and I just use a normal, like, I think it's a dragon shield?
I have pretty much mostly just, like, starting armor, so maybe that's part of my problem.
That might be the problem. Because by then, I'd already, like, gone, the crazy thing about Dark Souls is you can kind of approach it from like any direction because I'd already gone down and down to like the foresty areas and like level like like level 30 and 40. So I've already like gone to that area and come around. So
See, I'm doing the Capra Demon basically
as soon as he
basically just after the Citadel after
getting the first bell. Yeah, that's no, I didn't. Yeah, I could go down. Go hang out in the forest area and get some levels.
If I can get past that first attack, like that fight actually shouldn't be that hard because I can one shot those dogs with the Drake Sword.
Can't you heal? Like,
yes.
What?
Oh wait, what?
Like, aren't you like? Is there a problem with healing or like what's happening?
Because when he's hitting me with that attack, it knocks me on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and I'm down for long enough for him to actually do another attack before I can even get up.
Oh, does it just instant kill you?
Yep.
No. Oh, but how do you?
So,
I don't understand how you're dying, Durin.
I did that fight like four times and finally just said, fuck it, I need to go to bed.
I don't think anybody
understands how he's dying right now.
I think
he's dying during the attack.
What kind of armor are you wearing? The starting armor?
The starting armor, other than I've got some black leather leggings and black leather gloves. Okay. Everything else is starting.
You should be able to like just run down and get, like, just look for this, the elite knight armor. It's not the best armor in the game. Oh, I think it's my favorite armor in the game, but it's not necessarily the best armor in the game, but it is very, very good. It's actually down in the forest, but you don't need to unlock the door. You don't need the 20,000 souls for it. So you just need to fight through some plant monsters and you can get it. So just look for the elite knight armor.
My friend was actually in the process of doing that while I was getting set up for the Capra Demon. So
Sounds familiar. Go grab that. It'll make the game easier for you. It's probably the coolest looking armor in the game as well. Like, you know the knight you meet at the start, and he has that cool looking, like, knight looking armor? Yeah. That's the armor. And you get that.
So I wonder if part of the problem could also be my level. I'm only level 21.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's probably part of it. I was like level 40 or 50 when I fought that dude. actually, no, probably like 30.
That's the thing. Like, I have a shitload of souls, the item, the consumable ones. Right. So I probably, like, my friend's been telling me just to kind of hold on to them. I don't need them right now. Like, the souls that I've been getting, I should be using for upgrading gear, not levels.
You can do it that way, but, like, most of the blacksmiths are right near a pretty decent place to get souls just by killing things. So, yeah. And then mostly near, like, a fire as well. So you can just kind of grind the area around the blacksmith for souls when you need to do that. So I just spend everything. I just spent everything I had.
Yeah, I think grinding might be my next step, just because, like...
Just go down to the forest. Hang out in the forest for a while and see how that goes. For
you. All right, after the podcast, I'm going to have to find out where that's at, but I don't want to drag this out too much longer.
I'm just going to post the knight armor because it looks badass. And So what else have you been playing?
So Squiddle actually brings up another one. I've continued playing D&D.
Yeah. What?
did I not mention that on here? Yeah, I've been... So, yeah, we're like a month in now at this point, I think.
Oh, we've been playing. You did, but you're talking about like when you first started. Right.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We're a few we are level two now, so we've to that point. We play like maybe once a week. Sometimes we have to skip a week because, you know, it's hard getting four people kind of schedules lined up and everything, especially when, you know, five of us, four adventurers and the DM, but especially when three of them are Canadian and two of us are in the United States. That has been special.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know if it's the group I'm playing with or what it is exactly, but it's not quite what I expected out of D&D.
What are you getting? What do you expect? What are you getting?
Well, I mean, like, we're not taking it super, super seriously. Like, just to give you an idea, one of the adventurers, he is a pixie bard.
Okay.
Named, I already hate him.
Dewdrop.
Yeah, that's cool. That's perfect. It's perfect.
he's named Dewdrop Sparkle Dust.
Of course.
He typically resides in the pocket of kind of our unofficial leader. Make sure I don't get his name wrong. Baragron, son of Barathron.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
My friend has switched characters because he didn't really like his first one initially. He was only on, like, you know, the first mission basically. He's now playing a mage that casts fire and pretty much just makes our lives difficult because we've all been caught on fire by him at this point.
Wow. Yep. Pro.
And I'm playing a Goliath barbarian who is pretty much the best that I could possibly get out of that character because he's not particularly intelligent.
Uh-huh.
And that is thankfully being reflected in his roles.
Mm-hmm.
Where half the time, like, basically my D20s are 1 through 4 and 20. Okay. Like, either I miss spectacularly.
Nice.
Or I just fucking wreck a room.
Nice.
That's so it's, yeah, it's been pretty interesting with our group.
Fuck yeah.
Like, just to give you an idea of kind of how hard group has played, we got kicked out of the starting town.
Nice.
And we're told never to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun.
Yeah, no, it's the crazy thing about D&D is that so many things are brilliant in the moment and so hard to talk about after. Like for example, yeah. I played a hobo in one of our campaigns who was actually like this... I think he was like a warrior. Like he used, like, my backstory was like he was like this knight protector, but the family died because I failed. So I ended up as a hobo, and so all I had was this shack and it didn't have a door. So the first hour of the campaign, they were doing stuff and I was just looking for a door for my shack. And then and yeah, and it got to like the point where when they finally recruited me, came along and I set people on, I had like the normal equipment, but I'd call them hobo things. So I had like a hobo bottle and he asked me what the difference was. And it was like, it was full of alcohol. He's like, okay. So I took my hobo bottle and I threw it at this dude. And then I set him on fire because he was covered in alcohol. Then I peed on him to put him out because I realized we had to keep him alive. And so
that was actually D&D. So that was actually okay. Like one of the best encounters was when our pixie, like, just kind of, because he had nothing else better to do, because he's a bard, so he can't really do much in terms of actual combat.
Yep.
Accurate. He just kind of, there was a pit in the middle of the room with some rats that kept trying to climb up and everything and try to get to us. It was swarm of rats, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. He just kind of hurled some insults their way and then threw a bottle of wine, just kind of not thinking about it, you know, at them as part of the insult. And then our mage friend, because they were starting to get up there in the hole trying to get out, lobbed a fireball down there. And the DM, you know, went through his normal thing with a fireball. And then after he was done, I was like, wait, wasn't there alcohol down there? Nice. He's like, oh, right. And just fucking fire everywhere.
Nice. That's
just cute. Melting rats alive. It was, yeah, just the things like that just make it so much better than yep. So many games out there.
D&D is amazing. Anyway.
So I'll quickly go through the last game because I already had my turn but then forgot about half the game I played.
Scotch Castle, what the fuck? What's the last game?
Yeah. The last game is Prison Architect.
Oh, yeah.
I picked it up the Steam sale. I kind of grilled Thurb about it before I dropped the money on it because I still felt like it was on sale for $20.
That's a lot of money. I'm curious what your opinion on it like versus my wasn't a bad review of the game.
Yeah. Like that was the thing. Like I went to Thurb because I was like, $20 still feels like a little bit too much money for this game for what I've seen of what it is right now. But I was like, is there enough fun there to justify the $20 now, knowing that there will be more there later? And Thurb's response to it was kind of like, it was kind of a long-winded,
Nice.
No. It was a long-winded, yes?
Okay. Yeah, it's like, it has potential to be great, but right now, it's definitely early alpha. And so, like, I was like, okay, you know what?
Well, and then, like, it came down to the thing of if he waits until, like, the winter sale or something, it could be released and then cost more because it's early access still, I think.
Like, that was kind of how I justified it because I was like, you know, it's $20 right now on this sale. If I wait until winter, the winter sale to get it, even if it's released by that point, it's going to be the same fucking price because given that it hasn't released yet, it's still in alpha. It's not going to go on sale for even lower than it already has. Like, they're going to wait until post-release to go any lower than the whatever the 34% or whatever it was they were taking off. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll go ahead and get it. You know, this is cheap as it's going to be probably for, you know, 2013. And picked it up and then started playing it that night. And then 5 hours later, stopped playing it. 5 hours and three prisons later, stopped playing it after my most successful prison had a 29-prisoner riot with my four guards.
Fuck the police.
That game is actually really,
I mean, like,
real. Like,
listeners who haven't played that game won't realize this, but that's fucking impressive. Four guards and 29 prisoners?
Yeah.
How many days were you? Did you have those guys going?
Not very long, actually. So, like, I didn't know that, like, riot police was something you could call in. I had no idea that was a thing. So I was literally just dumping, like, I had, like, $20,000 just kind of banked. And I was just dumping it into guards, trying to keep my numbers up, like, to around, like, 9 at that point. And I literally couldn't do it. I got it down to 7 prisoners when my last guard died.
Nice.
It was rough. But again, like I said, I didn't even know that like riot police was a thing. Like, had I known that, I could have actually salvaged it. But I also didn't save during any of it. I know it quick saves, so I might try to go back to it depending on where that last quick save was at. But goddamn, like that, I'm glad I pulled the trigger on it because that game is the exact kind of simulation that I want.
It goes beyond.
It's definitely not Prison Simulator. It is definitely Prison Architect. I love that I am like placing electrical conduits, electrical lines and water lines, and like I am actually like building out every aspect of this prison.
I mean, like Duren, would you agree that it's like my like when you asked what it was in like the chat we had before purchasing, it was I said it was like it's a strategy game, but like it's from the inside, not from the outside. Like it's, you're having to design and build a base and all the fun of making a base.
Yeah. Like it's,
but you don't have to expect an attack from outside. It's like, you need to keep the place quarted off.
Well, I think the name is very appropriate because this is Prison Architect. This is not Prison Tycoon.
Yeah.
Like while there are tycoon aspects to the game, you know, the game inherently is about trying to run a successful prison. The like act of building, maintaining, expanding, like those things are absolutely the crux of the game. Like they are the most important part of the game. You know, it has the bureaucracy stuff. It has, you know, the research screen essentially, and all of that, and it, like I said, the end goal is to have a successfully running prison, but it just goes so much more on the more nitty gritty side that a lot of Sims don't do, and does it a lot better than Well, and it does a lot better than, like, you know, some of the older SimCities where, like, yeah, there were SimCity games where you laid pipes and you laid electrical lines, and it was fucking the worst. Like, those were the worst features of those games. Whereas with this one, like, it keeps things in terms of, like, the building aspect of stuff simple enough that you appreciate that stuff like, you know, laying water lines and making sure that, like, your, you know, your large electrical components are actually plugged in directly into your electrical outlets and stuff, and that you have, you know, a proper, you know, laying a wire to make sure you have power to everything. And, like, all of those things, like, there's just enough of all of that that every aspect of it, like, none of it feels like a chore. It actually feels like it is an integral part of the game.
Right.
That said, I'm with Thurb. Like, one of the first things they need to fix is if I put two fucking beds in a cell, there better be two goddamn prisoners in that cell. Because, well, one of the things they've added in the most recent alpha helps a bit with that problem, and that is that once you have basically filled up your plot of land, you can research the ability to buy an additional plot of land. And okay. So you can buy, like, one of the adjacent plots next to your prison. So you can expand the size of your prison that way. And that helps a lot.
Yeah. Just, like, the issue but, was, is, like, I, like, you, you're trying to find that balance between, like, maximizing your space and your dollar versus, like, you want to have stuff spread out. Like, it's another thing that would be nice is winning into the higher tier, like, you know, the higher number of prisoners is if you could have different mm-hmm. blocks. And so, like, when riots tend to happen, like, when they all go yeah. to get well, food or go to the play, like, to the park area, the field. Uh-huh. I guess it's when there's 29 people there. The riot happens. That's kind of a pain. If you could have just like this block of people go relax, and the other block yeah. go to like the lunch or something. That
well,
is...
especially given that you can manually go in and actually like change prisoners to be maximum security, normal security, or minimum. Like there is that in there, but I haven't figured out what exactly that even does.
Other than just like because maximum security blocks. Puts them in a different cell.
Does it?
Well, I think. I don't
there's
know.
There's no. The only cells that exist in the game are a cell and a solitary cell. In yeah. solitary, they only end up there if they've been in enough trouble. Like there is no maximum security cell, and I think maybe that's something that's missing that they're going to put in later. I would imagine there's going to eventually be a maximum security cell, and then there's going to be a death row cell. I would hope. I would imagine there would be a separate cell specifically for people on death row, given that there is an electric chair already implemented. but yeah, like it's definitely still super early alpha. It is clearly a game worked on by like one or a few dudes.
Just from that conversation, has so much potential. I just hope it.
There is.
Yeah.
And that potential is exactly why like I was willing to go ahead and drop the 20. I still say 35 is a ridiculous amount of money for them to request.
It's kind of weird that we're getting into like both that and I recently purchased Kerbal Space Program, which I'll be like playing hopefully later this week, that are like clearly small team games. And like we're getting to a point where not every small team game is an indie game. Or like they don't want to be considered in any game. Like they want to be a like they're trying to have like medium
pricing. Yes, like they are. Yeah, like they're like a double A title. Like they're not the triple A ones, but they're up there and they're pricing themselves.
It's weird.
Like you look at it and like you look at like Prison Architect and you're like, this game looks like something that would cost me $15.
Yeah, that's why I find it weird
there's a lot of depth. Well, there's a lot of depth to the game. There's definitely a ton of gameplay. And when it comes down to it, like the amount of hours you can drop into that game, technically, yes, you could say that you know, your entertainment per hour, per dollar value is going to be, you know, definitely well worth $35. But it's very, very hard to justify that. Like it's kind of the problem the Wii U is having, where it's the kind of thing where once you have it, you can understand the value of it to some extent, but
if you say so, sure.
but what I'm saying is that unless you do, you can't understand that value,
right?
And there's no way to make the customer understand that value until they do. So like you're stuck. Like
right.
Those customers will never understand the value because you can't get it in their hands.
Mm-hmm. But to me, like it's. As a person who likes many different kinds of games, like obviously if you're looking for something that's very much like Prison Architect, then it's probably a good thing for you.
Yeah.
But if you're seeing like if someone like me, I find that game pretty compelling, but I'm probably going to wait for it to actually be finished before I purchase it. In the meantime, I'm looking at $30 there. That's like three games. That's like freaking. Yeah.
It's the kind of game that would really benefit greatly from the Minecraft model, where like while it's in early alpha right now, maybe pay $10, you can get in now, right. Play the game, you know, submit your bug reports, help make the game great, and then once it hits beta, it's now $20, and then once it hits release, it's now $30 or $35. Like, yeah. Go that route. That would make a lot of sense for what this game is.
Yeah.
As the game sits right now, asking for $35 for that is fucking ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, just vote with your money. Don't wallet.
Like, you should have, you go into the fucking tech tree, and there's entire parts of the tech tree that just straight up say, not yet implemented. like kind of big deals.
Are
not there.
I don't like this green light system. I've already been a person who sat here going, I dislike day one patches because fucking get your game done before it goes out the door. And then you have this whole system of people literally pretty much releasing their unfinished games. I don't like it. I know it's progressive.
Go ahead.
I have a question on this. So let's say you're a game company and you have a game that went out, let's say in February, or you're done in February, and now they need to get to production and whatnot, and it is April by the time it comes out. Your development team is not going to just sit there and go, all right, there we're wait till it comes out to find the bugs. Mm-hmm. They're still going to be working on it. Right. So day one patches make sense to the fact that publishers can't get that shit out the door, you know, when they're done with it. Because within those couple months time span, they need to apply patches to things they found.
Well, no, here's the problem. Day one patches make sense because publishers push release windows.
Yeah.
Because publishers will say, your game needs to be done by this time. And if it's done but not fully optimized, that's okay. Put it out the door because we'll just put up a day one patch on it.
Yeah, it's not the developers because some of the best games of all time never even got a patch. Like Final Fantasy VII never even got a patch.
Bioshock Infinite
I don't think it needed a day one patch, right? It was just done.
No,
I have no idea.
The Last of Us certainly didn't need its patch. Like it only did like some small fixes with its patch, and otherwise it was freaking. I didn't download anything. Like I played that game entirely offline. Didn't have a day one patch.
Like you find, you know, if they happen to find some like big game breaking.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, like they you know went through the normal processes of QA and everything seemed completely golden. Right. Put the game through cert and everything, and then like you know weeks before launch, they're like, oh god, we just found this thing. This needs
then
to be
fixed.
Like day one patches make sense for stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the problem with it is that you get like publishers rely now on day one patches. They know that like customers don't have a choice.
Yeah,
like
it's not even publishers. Consoles are going to have day one patches.
Yeah, freaking Xbox One is going to have a day one patch.
The Wii U day one patch was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Jesus, and so like for me already having that hang up, I just don't like the idea of paying retail money. Like $30 is definitely in the range of retail money for something that's unfinished. That's just completely unfinished. I'd never do it.
And again, that's why I feel like that game would benefit greatly from the Minecraft model. Like, just drop that price down while the game actually isn't out.
Yeah.
Get your numbers up, and then... And I mean, I guess, to some extent, I can see why they wouldn't go with that model, because it doesn't really have the longevity that something like Minecraft does. Like, you're going to play the game for a few months, and eventually you're going to get what you wanted out of that game, and you'll move on.
Yeah.
But it's just not... You look at that game on Steam and you see early access and you see $35 and you see, you know, the videos they've uploaded to that game and you're like, are like these people, like I thought Phil Fish was insane, but
I mean, he could be.
No, he's still insane. I mean, let's not try to avoid that topic.
Yeah. And freaking, let's say Darksiders 2 is on sale for $10 right now. And it's just really difficult nowadays, especially with how long this console cycle is gone. So there's no like graphical bump to distinguish new games from games that are a couple years older. And so like this whole like the whole like last 5 years are still very playable in terms of like just having a modern gaming experience. Like we were playing Mirror's Edge before this podcast started, and that's still, that game still looks amazing by like most standards.
But I mean, I will say, like with Prison Architect, like, you know, all the, you know, bitching about the price aside, like they've sold hundreds of thousands of copies of that game at this point. Like they're clearly happy. Yeah, they're clearly happy with what the sales they've had so far, and the game hasn't come out yet. So I guess what they're doing is right for them.
I'm just
glad I picked it up on that sale because I would never have paid $35 for that game.
Yeah.
Like I don't think even at release I would have paid $35 for it.
Also, and with
just,
that,
well, no, I mean, like, just to flip the table a little bit, just in case people knew or didn't know, the Bohemian Interactive and like the DayZ thing, that's gonna be like $5, I think, when it comes to Alpha.
What are you talking about?
What DayZ is?
DayZ standalone.
Oh, really? So finally, they're putting that out. Are they?
They were like it's the most recent plans were like after E3, which you know happened a little bit ago. They were going to start hammering down and want to like fix some server side issues. Now they're wanting to make it more like streamlined, like an MMO. But then like it will be coming out in alpha, and that will be a straight up alpha. Like there will be plenty of bugs, plenty of things will not be working. There will be placeholders all over the place. But but because of that, they're like, we're going to make this super cheap right now.
So it's like $5 entry price. Is that it?
I think it was going to be like. And something like $5 or something like under $10.
Yeah. That's totally, yeah. That's
the like, Bohemian guys were planning on making it even cheaper. And it was Rocket, like the developer Dean Rocket Hall was like, no, it's, I want to bump this up to something better.
Well,
yeah. Well, that's basically like,
what I want to see.
You know, sub $10, like, I played literally one night, I think, of DayZ with some friends. I will buy standalone for sub $10 in alpha. Just like, just for maybe another night of that, like even if it's just even if I only play it once, like it'll be worth it. And that's the thing, like with Prison Architect, you know, the 35, like you wouldn't say like, oh, I'll buy Prison Architect for one good, you know, solid 5 hour experience. Like no, fuck that. Like I, as it was, I spent the $20 and spent the 5 hours playing. I'm like, this is a really good game. I hope I go back to it at some point.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would like to introduce a new segment. Possibly into the Scotchcast. I've been going through my drawer of old games that I have and game devices, and I would like if it's possible to like get through all these, maybe pick two that I could talk about.
Sure,
at least about the case device, the case that came with it and what was advertised on the case and kind of stuff like that. and I think it'd be kind of interesting. I mean, I've been gaming for years, and I don't think a lot of people understand. You know, when you bought a jewel case for a game, the advertisements that it had on it and what came with the device itself or device, look at me, with the game itself. So I would like to just throw out there, I pulled out two right now. One of them is my Half-Life Game of the Year edition that came out in 1999 with Team Fortress Classic from Sierra Studios and Valve.
Uh-huh.
And on the back is Homeworld, which is a game coming this fall in 1999. Man. Best strategy game of E3. And coming soon was Half-Life, Opposing Force, and SWAT 3.
Wait, so people actually paid money for Half-Life Game of the Year?
What?
Yep, I bought it. I bought it.
People love Half-Life Game of the Year edition.
Yep, no. I mostly say that because I might have obtained that game through
other means.
Other means. And so, and on it, it says, so, I guess,
it was basically like one of those keychain things, and the intention was Half-Life 1, and the key that I got was Half-Life 1 Game of the Year, so I ended up getting all the other stuff with it.
Nice.
Yeah, but, I mean, definitely, and I would like to say that the disc is still in the jewel case, and in semi-decent installable material.
Okay, you're not trying to sell it, sir.
This is a knife show.
No, I'm not. I'm just, it's kind of like a... This is the Lincoln Cast Retro Corner by Squiddle. Yep.
Sure.
You know,
quick cases.
That's right. And so, and the other, and
one now is that how this?
Well, no. That was just a little thing. And the last one I just want to bring up as I dug through my drawer here was Unreal 2: The Awakening, which most people know the Unreal series based on the, you know, multi or multiplayer platform, but this was the actual single player game by Epic and Legend Entertainment Company.
Unreal The Awakening?
Yeah, it was released in 2003 by Epic Games. It was a single player game that I guess the producers, Epic Games and Legend, was the other. And they actually had a Pentium 4 advertisement on the back for it.
The reason I'm confused about this is, there was an Xbox game called Unreal 2 The Leander Conflict.
I don't know about that at all. I'm just
I thought that was Unreal 2.
This was bought from Best Buy in 2003, and it was the single player Unreal 2 game that came out. Atari was probably the one of the producers or one of the people that gave money towards it, because their name is on this thing as well.
There we go. It was Unreal Championship 2, the Leandri Conflict.
I would just like to say that the system requirements was a Pentium 3 or AMD Athlon 733,
and
a Pentium or a AMD 1.2 or greater recommended, and your memory should have been at least 256 megabytes of RAM or 384 for greater recommended.
Video games, guys. All right, so was that your...
That was it.
Squiddles, yeah. Gaming Corner?
Yes, DirectX 8.1, folks. If you didn't know it existed before 10, now you do.
Man. All right,
I'm confused now. Like, There was
games here, I swear. There were supposed to be games.
Like, I knew there was Unreal, and I knew there was Unreal Tournament. What the fuck is Unreal Championship?
Unreal Championship was its own thing, but...
That's what developed by Epic and Midway, console-exclusive spin-off of Unreal Tournament 2004, the sequel to Unreal Championship.
Wait, right. Unreal Championship 2 was a spin-off of Unreal Tournament 2004?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yep. Let's see. Unreal Championship 1. Oh, no. Sorry, Unreal Championship
3. I remember both those cases. I remember seeing... Wow.
Yeah. So Unreal Championship is a flagship title for the launch of Xbox Live. Used extensively in pre-release promotion. The port... Unreal Championship was a port of Unreal Tournament 2003. The championship was just ports. Console ports.
Okay. I actually have the disc for Unreal Tournament 2003.
What was that?
it was the same. It's Unreal Championship 2 is a port of 2004.
Yeah. So there's just ports. By the looks of it.
Mind officially blown.
Unreal Championship 2 might have actually been a spinoff with stuff.
Like, yeah. I remember I worked at Blockbuster when that game was out, and I saw that. I thought it was a single player Unreal Tournament game.
Might be. It's a spinoff. I don't know. I'm not going to spend the rest of the podcast reading off the Giant Bomb Wiki page, but...
Well, I would just say next week we will look at 13, Soldier of Fortune 2, Double Helix.
I don't think you're supposed to ruin what we're doing next week with this.
I'm just giving heads up. Okay. Giving heads up.
All right.
Okay, I remember seeing that case.
Oh, is video on? Did that happen? I haven't been looking. Okay, no, it happened. Okay.
No.
All right. And with that... Do you want to talk about news? Because there'd be a bit of news, but I don't know if it's worth talking about.
I like the timeless nature of this podcast right now.
Well, there is one big piece of news I need to talk about, which is massive changes are happening to Final Fantasy XIII Lightning Returns.
Oh, goddammit.
Specifically, Akira Toriyama increased Lightning's bust size from a C cup to
an... And with that is the Lincoln cast. What?
Is that going to be the linked up?
I just
where did you read this? Destructoid?
No, it was on NeoGAF, your source of all gaming news.
Right,
but it's confirmed in an interview that he did increase. Yep, bigger tits confirmed for Lightning. I want to know how that happened in terms of who asked the question, like who broached the subject. Did you increase Lightning's
I'm pretty sure her boobs are bigger now. Confirm her.
Yeah, Then Akira Toriyama just goes, "Yep, I did it. I increased her butt." I don't know.
Can I get a cup size? I need to remake my my flesh doll so that it accurately represents the characters in the game. Jeez.
But like the other things was like those people trying to get Steam to have used games, or what it was, like borrowed games policies or something like that that Shinboy really wanted to talk about. I think those kinds of suits don't really matter until they actually come to court and are disputed.
Well, and like we've already seen reports that are like people have looked at code that hints at a lending system of some kind coming to Steam. Yeah. Whether that happens or not, it's a different story. But you know, I could see Steam or Valve, if this trial were an issue, then getting that out there before that so that the trial never becomes an issue. Right. But like Valve themselves has said, like, this exact group has tried to take them to court for this exact thing before and failed. So it's really not news.
Then we have Microsoft confirms self-publishing for the Xbox One, and that's about time.
Not only self-publishing, like, that was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
But probably the bigger deal that a lot of news outlets, I think, didn't really highlight. I know Giant Bomb did, but others maybe didn't. Every Xbox One is a dev console.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that
sounds really impressive,
I just don't
it,
like
it means if you buy an Xbox One and you own one at home, you could develop a game for it.
But like, yes, but dev kits actually have like additional tools and like troubleshooting things,
mean that you can't hook a monitor up to it and access some kind of sub layer of the hard drive that gets you into a Windows 8 platform that you can develop a game for.
Sure any software you need could be downloaded.
Get into that.
Sorry, what was that, Darren?
I said there's probably some kind of registration process and that gives you access to all that information. Right after the news of this coming out came, the news that Sony is basically giving away their dev kits. What they're doing is their dev kits are $2,500 a piece, mm-hmm. but they're like literally lending them out for free to indie devs first time.
It's kind of awesome. Like they're letting out for free for indie devs, and those are like the fully built up. They have extra RAM, extra power, stuff that allows you to decode, and that's the kind of stuff that makes me wonder what Microsoft means, because usually dev kits are a bit more beefy, are a bit more like transparent in terms of like how similar they are to Windows. Like a lot of dev kits are more close to, at least to my understanding, are closer to like other platforms to allow for easier like rapid code and stuff like that to get to play on them. I don't know. It's going to be. I just wonder if anyone's going to crack that and get like, because like the PSP is the same. Like PS Vita. Any PS Vita can be used for like development. You just have to have like this one program that you can download. You have to sign up via a Sony system and do stuff with PSN. But it just adds this program to your PSN download. I did this myself just to play around with it. It adds this program to PSN, your download list, like alongside your games. You just download your Vita and you can run dev, like actual develop games on it and stuff.
I mean, it's no different than when you say the iOS platform is a phone or the Android platform can be a developer phone, whether or not you have the SDK on your computer, develop it, and then deploy it to it to see how it works.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what they mean by every Xbox, which is like no holds barred, a really big step, because this is the first time for a home console.
It's a huge step for Microsoft, because coming off of what the 360 was, where it was not developer friendly, definitely not for indies. Mm. To see them go the opposite direction now and self publishing, and pay $400 and you get, or $500 and you get a dev kit essentially. Like that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, business. Welcome to the x86 platform, folks. Let's give a big hand. finally did it.
Nice.
So
maybe that's part of it. Yeah,
I have a small bit of news that apparently popped up yesterday. I didn't see until today, mm-hmm. But. There's a Kickstarter that's been started.
Do I need for to start there?
For a Final Fantasy VII miniseries may potentially be sanctioned by Square Enix.
Okay, I'm on board if you answer this question correctly. Is it live action?
No.
I'm not on board.
It looks like the crew, or some people in the crew, have experience working on movies like Harry Potter, Kick-Ass, and Scott Pilgrim.
That plot is as convoluted as it needs to be. And
if it is based on Scott Pilgrim, then it could be phenomenal.
this miniseries, it's not like their own story. It's actually a miniseries that chronicles the actual events of Seven.
But I don't need that. Doesn't need to happen either. Like I don't know, man.
Like it could be potentially kind of neat. And what they mean by possibly sanctioned is, you know, Square Enix is their legal counsel has been aware of the project for many months. They've engaged in persistent dialogue with manager of Square Enix Online, who assured them that both North America and European divisions were supportive of their efforts. Their trailer that they created for the Kickstarter has actually appeared on the Square Enix website, and they've acquired music rights via a surrogate agency that gives them some licensing stuff for the music. So, like, they it sounds like Square Enix might actually be behind letting them do this.
But so, are they using the Advent Children art style?
You know, let me.
I would hope so.
Kind of have to.
Well, when I saw it looked like it, I'm trying to get through the video here to see some more.
I just don't think maybe it's needed because that game is almost fucking unplayable for some people now, especially with those graphics. But I personally don't think so. I think that.
Oh wait. Sorry. You might be back on board. This is live action.
Oh yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Turn it around.
Live action Final Fantasy. I'm going to link this to you guys.
Okay, that's exactly where I need fan shit to go with people pretending to be Cloud.
Hugh Jackman as main character.
Oh man, that'd be perfect.
Why is that video not working?
Oh, it's working on my end. I'm hoping it's not coming up. It's not coming up in the recording. Good. All right.
I'm getting green screen.
People at home will need to. I'm just going to quickly fast forward. Oh my god, this is actually surprisingly, like, frame wise, like the shots they use.
Like I said, the people making this have worked on big budget movies. Hollywood movies. This isn't, these aren't some dudes in their garage.
Wait, they didn't show Cloud?
Well, I mean, this is a trailer. This is a very small trailer for the Kickstarter.
I'm shaking my head. You need to see Cloud. I don't care what your pseudo Aerith looks like. I need to see. If the hair works on, because Aerith is easy to do. She doesn't have crazy hair.
Broken. This video is suddenly broken.
Oh, I can't see it. Oh no. But yeah, this shows Aerith. She's doing the praying thing in the church. It's like, all right.
Whatever. Yeah.
I will keep tabs on that because I am suddenly really interested in how that goes. God damn. Anything else? There's Phil Fish leaving the game industry, but that is developing as we record. We don't know how that's going down, and possibly canceling Fez 2, which I personally don't care about. But Durin, did you care about Fez 2?
No.
And with that, also Shadow of the Eternals is back on Kickstarter, so
Divekick has been greenlit.
Divekick has been greenlit. Yes.
Yeah. So this is probably a dumb question, I hope, but like controller support's there. Right?
More important question.
Probably.
That is just as dumb, but like, seriously? Can you play with two people on one machine?
Oh, you can in the console version, so you should be. You can do it on Vita, so I bet it works on PC as well. So. Okay. You have two people in the same Vita.
And on one controller, you have the X, Y, and the A, B, right?
Yeah, yep, yep. No. It's up, down, and
Now the trailer's working.
But what's his face? I think I'm gonna buy that on console anyway because what the fuck, guys? Fighting games on PC? I don't think so.
Everybody that plays games on PC, so yes, fighting game on PC.
Fuck, fighting games. I don't know. Maybe it's just like the console online community is kind of where I like it to be for fighting games. Like for Street Fighter. The PS3 online community for Street Fighter is where it's at. Like even though that came up in PC, that's not where you play that game. So I don't know.
You stinking console players, stay over there. We want our PC regiment where it is.
I guess. Well, and I'm not going to complain. Like I'm happy that more people play this game. So that's awesome. Considering it's an internet like. Thing like people seem to like gravitate towards because it's an internet thing, then probably it might actually be most popular on PC. We'll see how it all breaks down, but I'm gonna get the PlayStation first. So with that, thanks for listening to this rambling, off topic, crazy, sideways, many tangents episode of the Scotch Cast.
Guys, I feel like we need Noob to center us more.
Barrett's not big enough. Guys, Barrett's not big enough. He needs more bulk.
I would just like to add, Durin asked earlier, what is a group of rats called, or a swarm of rats? It's called a mischief.
Oh, okay. Mischief rats.
I'd heard that before, but I forgot. Thank you. Burn. And with that, you're learning. See, there you go. You've learned something on the Scotchcast. See you next week with whatever the fuck we're recording then. Bye.
Let's start calling it Final Fantasy VII.